another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, good times. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
No!
Yeah. Well, I guess we should start out by talking about this writer strike, which is just starting as we speak. Today's the first day of the writer strike. A lot of guys I know are going out and picketing today.
Sure.
They don't really know what they're picketing. They just know they have to picket.
And their signs are misspelled, which I think is odd on a writer's strike.
They don't have spell check on that construction
paper.
Let me
ask, is your buddy Kimmel shutting down for the strike?
Yes, everybody is shutting down. As a matter of fact, I talked to Leno and Kimmel within about 20 minutes of each other, literally maybe 15 minutes yesterday. And I have some answers that I didn't have before, and some of you may not have, and it's a little bit confusing, so I'll lay it out and try to get you guys caught up. I went to a car show yesterday and ran into Leno, and then directly went from the car show over to Kimmel's house, and I ran into Leno, and actually Leno brought it up because Leno asked if the strike was going to affect me and us and what we do, and I said, sadly, no. I have to go to effing work tomorrow morning. Now, you see, when I hear about people, I've been this way my whole life. When I would, you know, when I was 10 and I turned on the news and they'd say, there's a storm that hit Minnesota that socked in Minnesota and everything is every road is closed and every school has been closed down. I thought, you lucky bastard. And I not only think about that, you know, about, you know, a snow day. I never had any in North Hollywood, but I'm talking about natural disasters, terrorist threats, earthquakes, things of that nature, fires, riots. I always think, you bastards, you lucky bastards. You don't have to go to whatever it is or wherever it is you're supposed to go. It's a horrible instinct. When I hear about other people getting fired, quitting, or going on strike, I always think, you lucky bastards. Weird impulse, but
you don't ever think about going on sympathy strike or sympathy snow day?
Sympathy snow day, I'd like to work out.
Yeah, you check it out, you're like 12, 13 years old, and you go, you know what, Mom? There's kids in Minnesota. They can't get to school today.
Yeah,
and
there's kids
I just don't think we should do it.
Yeah, those kids in Duluth have to stay home and play Parcheesi.
Yeah,
and I'm with them, my brothers.
Don't ever tell me that there's children starving in China, so I need to eat my dinner, and tell me that there's children in Minnesota that can't go to school, but I should go.
Good point.
I should suffer along with my fellow student.
Although my parents never, ever, ever, ever played the children in China thing or said finish anything.
How would I know that?
I was so busy lapping up what little food was in front of me constantly, I only got reprimanded for getting into other people's food that was around me. Never had that conversation. I was a huge eater. But I talked to, so Leno brought it up, and I said, well, no, we have to go to work, but what's your plan? And he said, well, he didn't know. He just knew he was not going tomorrow, meaning today.
Right.
That all the shows, my agent is John Stewart's agent and Stephen Colbert's agent and Jimmy's agent. I was talking to him about it last week. He said, well, everyone will go down, will shut down for a couple of weeks, but then eventually there's the other 95% of the staff who needs a paycheck, and you may have to go back to work for them. The writers, and by the way, I know we're all brothers and everything, but you've never got paid more to do less. It's a group of incredibly overpaid, perpetually dissatisfied prima donna men children, most part. It's almost like 40-year-old guys who play a lot of rotisserie football and buy sports cars and hang out and complain a lot, and they don't have to do anything.
Some are women.
Some are women, yes. I enjoyed doing writing over Kimmel because I liked not having to do anything.
Right.
I like that sort of bottom line of, here's a couple of jokes, take them or leave them. I'll be over here playing Atari on my computer. And that's how it went. It's a great gig. Although they complain like stuck pigs most of the time.
Sure.
It's a great gig. You get a few grand a week and you don't really do anything. So those guys are all going on strike, and then everyone else has to go on strike just out of solidarity.
But a certain knack and panache are worth money, because you had just mentioned two things right there that I cannot do. I've never written a joke, ever, and I've never played Atari.
Well, you could.
So you would go to a studio, and where you say, I would earn this money for doing nothing, you might as well have said, well, I went and I scaled Mount Everest, and they'd give me money. Any of writing a joke, constructing a joke, I don't even understand the concept.
Well, it's pretty much whatever. Someone brings up a topic, you have a funny thought about it. Instead of saying it, you write it down. That's about the easiest way I could come up
see,
with.
I can see saying it and having somebody else go good one and writing it down. I
all
just
right.
can't have an idea.
That's called a writer's assistant.
Okay, yeah. Then I can do it.
There you go. You just say
and
it.
Atari, how
just,
hard can it be?
They just write it down.
By the way, there was a strike back in 88, and there was a time when Johnny Carson and David Letterman just did their own material.
Mm-hmm.
They went without writers.
Yeah, well, I talked to Leno about that. I said, what about back in 88? How'd that go?
Yeah.
And he said, well,
Carson
stayed off air for like two
for
and a half months.
Yeah.
And then when he came back, because keep in mind, there's the whole rest of the staff, and the whole rest of the staff doesn't get paid that well.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a ton of, you know, FU money or pillow money or mattress money or money to fall back on. So they went back after about 2.5 months and recycled old jokes or just wrote material, you know, modified their monologue, obviously, and they went back and did it. So he said, Leno said he doesn't really know and nobody really knows what the plan is. He suggested a united front because nobody wants to be the first show to go back.
Yeah.
Out of loyalty?
Out of loyalty, yes, to your writers.
Yeah.
So you don't want to say...
Right, you don't want to cross the picket line.
All right, we're gonna take a couple days off, and then we'll go right back to work. That's not...
Showing you how really unnecessary you are.
And isn't Jon right. Stewart himself a member of the Writers Guild because he does so much of his own writing?
I think... You know, it's weird because I'm in the Writers Guild,
so
too,
so
and I think everyone's in the Writers
yeah.
Guild. I don't know, but you're not employed as a writer on your show,
right.
So I think that's why you can do it. There's a whole bunch of nuances. Like, so I said, all right, well, you know, I'll go talk to Kimmel, and, you know, all the late-night show host guys ought to just get together and pick a date to go back, so we're not waiting for the other guy to go back. And Leno kind of liked the United Front.
You just brokered
idea.
A deal between Leno and Kimmel?
I am the Menachem Begin. Did he do that?
How well did that work out?
Someone
Carter?
Got shot on the tarmac.
Yeah.
That's
Make
what happened.
By his own men.
In
uniform.
Some
guy's going to come in here dressed as an engineer and shoot you.
I said, I'm going to, I'll go talk to Kimmel about it and see how it goes. So I went and talked to Kimmel about it. And the way... It works. And again, nobody really knows exactly what they're doing, which is a weird thing because they've had a few weeks and a few months to
yeah.
give it some consideration and no one's really figured it out. Kimmel said that the people will kind of look to Letterman to see what Letterman does.
Yeah.
But that Letterman doesn't really like to work, which gave me a whole new respect for the man.
No.
And that Letterman pays his staff himself.
Weird,
whereas other shows like ABC pays Jimmy's staff, Letterman
yeah.
pays. Now, I guess they give Letterman just a huge chunk of money, and he's in charge of doing his thing. And certain things work out that way in the entertainment field. So they're going to be kind of looking at Letterman. This is where shows, as Leno was explaining back in 88, where shows like Cops came from
right.
and a handful of those America's
yeah.
Most Wanted and things
sure.
like that. So everyone goes out on strike today. Now, ironically, we're talking about how it's impacting the late night show. Those guys have almost nothing to gain from the strike because
yeah.
the strike is really about the ancillary markets and it's about the DVD sales and things like that.
Downloads.
Yeah, I think the strike would benefit folks writing for Grey's Anatomy more than it would be for Jon Stewart's show.
Absolutely.
And feature writers who sell DVDs.
Right. Oh, features.
And who are incredibly, in my opinion, mistreated. feature writers.
I never thought about the feature part of it, the movies.
Yeah.
I was always thinking they focus so much on TV shows, but I guess it would affect them too, although those things are way down the pipeline, so it doesn't affect you. Now, the shows that will be affected immediately are the day and date
right.
shows.
Late night shows and also soap operas.
Right. Now, what about news? How come news writers aren't considered
They're
writers?
They're AFTRA, I believe. Well, that's a good question.
Because news is day and date, and somebody has to load that teleprompter with something.
Yeah, I think mostly they're non-union.
Well, first of all, I think almost everybody that is not on a network is non-union.
Right.
I mean, I've never, I don't want to say any.
Well, what do you mean network?
ABC, CBS, ABC and Fox.
No, because, you know, Comedy Central and Jon Stewart, those guys are all going out on.
They fairly recently became union, but they.
Is that what happened?
But yeah. They were non for a while.
Every show, I mean, this would, I could be wrong. And if you're any of my employers that I'm wrong here, you've known me to be wrong before. I don't think this is going to affect VH1 and Surreal Life at all.
Oh, no. Well, it's
not going to get a bunch of has-beens in a room and get them drunk, and nobody's going to write down the word has-been and booze.
No, reality shows are not going to be affected by this. Obviously, some cable, yes, and some cable, no. I get the feeling like Comedy Central, Colbert Report, and Jon Stewart, those will be affected.
Yeah.
If you're on Versus or Spike or some deeper cable entity like
TV
that.
TV Guide Network.
We're all thinking of T. Thanks for saying it. TV Guide Network, as a matter of fact, I couldn't think of it because I didn't know they had one. But tell me they haven't.
It's on half the screen.
The point is if
you look really thin.
If you're on that, you're cool. And for some reason, news isn't. Those guys aren't considered.
News is a really good question. I mean, I don't know.
ABC, you know, evening news. Who's writing that? I know a lot of the anchors do a lot of the writing,
yes.
But
yeah.
They're also, somebody's got to fill that teleprompter with words, don't they?
Yeah, and
but
here's
those words come from somewhere. The teleprompter guy is not a member of the union.
It's true. News people do.
No, that's what I mean, though. I mean, fill it with the words of somebody.
Yeah. Who may or may not
be in the union. Currently working, all of us. As we speak now, are working under AFTRA contracts,
right.
As are most news people. And AFTRA has said that if you are a member of AFTRA, you cannot write any more material than you personally wrote pre-strike. So you can still work.
But you can't step it up and fill the void.
Up.
Then you're a scab.
Damn, because I was about to write Brian like 20 bits.
So
just to, you know, enhance my income.
So that's about where it is. Reruns.
Yeah. He's dead.
Most dramas and sitcoms wrote scripts in advance, knowing this was coming. So they'll have new scripts till the end of the year.
Perhaps I can find a home for that Frasier spec script I wrote in 1989.
Things will get really desperate. What happens in your fridge? Frasier?
I just tear off the cover page and write 2.5 men
right,
and hand
no
it
knows.
In. Exactly the same.
All right. Really is, if you think about it.
We need to
take the kid Niles. You're fine.
Right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Here's some good copy. Nobody funnier. Nobody funnier than the actual celebrities who write the blogs. Teresa is going to read some of them, and then we'll guess where they emanated from. T, do you have a tease?
Yes, I do. Is this Adrian Curry, Fergie, or Melanie Griffith? Dear Inner Self, if it is your will, please reveal to me in a dream tonight the secret of my success.
Yeah, that's your inner self, right?
That is a celebrity blogging to her inner self.
Right, but she's putting it out on the web,
yes.
Right?
But do you have to write to your inner self? First of all,
in a public way.
Has she broken any union rules by writing to her inner self?
Good point.
Right off the bat,
good
right
point.
There.
It's called Blah Blah Blog. We've done it a couple times. Everyone has loved the bejesus out of it, and we'll do it again. We'll figure out... I think we have others. We have many other celebrity blogs. We'll read them, and then we'll match a celebrity to the retarded blog. We'll do that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Live from the corner office, program director Jack Silver.
Happy first day of daylight savings, peeps! Or as Jackman calls it, one more hour of Lynch, where's my line? Drake! I thought I fired you months ago! Did today. We'll check in with Oakland Raiders linebacker Kirk Morrison. A new edition of Music Monday. The Death Rat Guy. What can't Adam complain about? Blowhard Celebrity Blogs. And the Ace Man unleashes Terry the Pterodactyl. Hey, ladies, if you stay close enough to my groin region, you might get to see the Jackman unleash Jackie the Jurassic Triceratops. He's got three horns. You know, one for each input. How is that offensive?
Wow. Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
My wife said she saw Jenna Elfman at some theater in New York a few weeks ago, and I said, oh, I got to toss her into the volcano.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, why is everyone annoyed by Jenna Elfman? And I said, I don't know, but I got to toss her in a volcano. And then she said, yeah, but she's not doing anything. And I said, yeah, but she will.
Scientology is just a big, fat global scam.
Yeah. She's going to do something and annoy us all in the next few months. I can smell it.
Yeah, it'll be called going back to work.
Right.
She's one of those people.
Yeah. So I figure, you know, some of the people, when we call Terry my pterodactyl, toss celebrities and others into the volcano, some of the stuff is for what the people are doing now, but others are down the road.
It's preventive.
Preemptive strike.
Right, exactly.
All right. We have an intro to Blah Blah Blog.
It's time to play Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity to their retarded online rant. Let's play.
All right, $20 is what's at stake, T?
Yeah. Now, I should say, all of these celebrities really do blog, and I have no idea who wrote which.
Right.
Here we go. Is it Adrian Curry, Fergie, or Melanie Griffith? Dear Inner Self, if it is your will, please reveal to me in a dream tonight the secret of my success in order to become closer to you. With love and respect, who?
Adrian Curry from America's Top Next Top Model, Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas, Melanie Griffith from Nutsville, Ohio. She just seems like she is just getting nuttier and more plasticurgerized.
Dude, she's the Riddler.
She's going insane.
That might be true, but I saw her on Larchmont. She was at the beauty supply store, and this couple had a baby, and she was
with a pallet jack. She was dragging out. What?
She did say, I never leave this place without spending $1,000. But she was cooing over these people's baby, and she was holding it, and she was so good with the baby, it made me like her.
All right. So, Adrian, Fergie, Melanie. Adrian's baked all the time, talking about, I don't know, this feels a little head in the clouds for Adrian Curry. She's like more of a, I don't know, chew tobacco, smoke some weed, and punch you in the arm kind of chick.
Yeah.
I don't have this one as Adrian Curry. I have it narrowed down to Fergie and Melanie. What do you think, T?
I'm going Fergie. I'll tell you why. I don't know this to be true, but I remember hearing that she had a meth problem at one point. And this verbiage sounds 12-steppy to me. So I'm going Fergie.
Now, I'm leaning towards success because it says, dear yourself, please reveal the... why I'm so successful. Well, that would be like me writing, dear blog, please reveal to me why I'm so tall. What's her face? Well, he's not doing anything. Why would she want the secret of her success? It's called being lackadaisical and married to a rich guy. So I'm leaning towards Fergie, but it's so airy-fairy, I'm going to go Melanie.
I'm going Fergie, too. Two Fergies, one Melanie. And the answer is...
Melanie Griffith.
Oh,
gentlemen.
Nice job.
T, you won me over with that 12-step talk, bitch.
That's funny. I go to those meetings every day, and they've yet to win me over.
One for me and T.
Like,
Danny
this is really
up.
A protein drink.
Okay, maybe we can catch up here. Is this Moby, Ant, the host of Last Comic Standing, or Flea?
They're all named after animals.
Moby, Ant, and Flea.
That's
true. Here goes. Okay, happy Halloween. New York was insane last night. Kind of like Mardi Gras meets Spring Break on steroids and psilocybin. I've said it before and I'll say it again. A wig is not a costume, even if it's pink. That's all.
All right, who's the oldest one? Because the youngest one in the room just said psilocybin instead of psilocybin. And what is psilocybin? Hallucinogenic.
Yeah, I thought it was psilocybin too, but I didn't know. I don't know how it's spelled. So Moby, ant, or flea?
See, Moby just said ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Ant would have said another man's wiener.
Mm-hmm.
And flea can't really speak. So I'm going to go with ant.
You're going ant. I'm going Moby on this one. T?
I'll go flea.
All right. For once, we've spread it out three ways. I have Moby, Danny has ant, and T has flea. Answer, please.
I like him because he's bald. Moby.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right, so Danny and I are tied up. T 0-2, but she's been down before, and she comes back each and every time. Let's keep it going.
Is it Al Roker, Billy Bush, or James Lipton? Last night, I interviewed Julia Roberts at the American Cinematheque Awards. I found myself hoping to be charming so I could hear that explosive laugh at least once. Man, what a laugh. It's like fuel in the engine. Al Roker, Billy Bush, or James Lipton?
Damn.
Whoever said it is the gayest one on here, so I just got to figure out who's the gayest of these three guys.
That's tough.
Cinematheque Awards. Oh.
Man, that laugh is like fuel in the engine. Okay, I know very few things, but one thing I know is guys, and guys don't talk like that. Her laughter, I mean, unless you're saying it to her thinking you're going to get in her pants because you don't want to be in her engine. Unless that's what you're calling it these days. It's not something you say on your blog to other guys. So it's a guy that wants to appeal to like, airy-fairy kind of chicks. I'm going to go with Lipton.
Hmm. Seems to... See, Lipton, I don't know. I found myself as a sort of Lipton-esque phrase, but hoping to be charming. I don't think Lipton hopes to be charming. I think he assumes he is charming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to... Billy, I got it down to Bush or Roker. Damn, T, what do you think?
Well, I'm on a losing streak, but I'm going to go with Billy Bush.
Bush or Roker? I'm going Billy Bush on this one. So T and I go Billy Bush. Danny goes James Lipton. None of us go Roker. Answer, please.
The inaptly named Billy Bush.
Oh, I'm back.
She's back. Yeah. All right, so now... I'm 2-1. T is 1-2, and so is Danny.
Yeah.
Very close. Let's go on to our next
one. Okay. Is this Bill
Maher? How many more do we have left, by the way?
We have two and a tiebreaker.
All right.
Is this Bill Maher, David Mamet, or Michael Moore?
Mm.
If the Democrats really want to mobilize their base, they must push for swing ballot initiatives that call for reinstating the draft. Even if it's a local draft, calling up young men and women to serve in their state's depleted National Guard units. That would really get the Democratic base to turn out en masse. Young people, reasonable mothers and fathers, the anti-war crowd, America's true silent majority.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Hmm, I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
And we'll tease this one. I'm up 2-1, but... Danny and T are 1-2, and this could make the difference. We have a couple more questions, a tiebreaker if necessary. Blah, blah, blog. Actual celebrity blogs. We match them. It's a lot tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
We'll take a quick break. We'll give you the answer to the last blog and others when we come back.
Too close to be a losing time.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Durham, North Carolina. A 68-year-old retired landscaper had to be rescued from a dry lake bed after becoming trapped in chest-deep mud. The man was hunting with a bow and arrow. Definitely not a Jew.
All right. Well, blah, blah, blog. Retarded celebrities and their lame-ass blogs. This, I am... The blog is everything I don't stand for. And I'll tell you why. A, I can't type. B, I can't spell. C, the sharing of sort of... Oh, you're being very generous, Paul Bryan.
That's you deleting what you misspelled.
Oh, okay. That I can do. If I hit the same key, yeah, I can do that. Just the sharing of non-interesting information when you're not on the clock. It just seems like, you know, all these celebrities have a job where they communicate with people in one way, shape, or form. They host a late-night show, they act, they sing, they compose songs, whatever it is. And then you go home and for free, you share more of your retarded ideas? It's a weird one to me.
I don't get it either. I write for money.
Yes.
And I always have.
That's right.
Not for fun and for free.
I'll say. I don't even talk when I get home.
Well.
All right.
I'm with you. I have never written anything for any other reason except money until MySpace came along.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote for sex.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
Well,
still a motivating factor.
But it's
factor.
Still, yeah, it's a payoff.
Other than sharing
your
feelings.
And by the way, I'd like to point out that I am in no way on strike.
Hmm. On MySpace.
I'm a member of the Sex Actors Guild, and I am not striking. And if you fall for any of the crap I say to you on MySpace that means you're special, I'm still willing to do it with you.
Well, I'm still in the Sex Instructors Academy. Ladies
are
free.
You?
That's right.
No, some of you guys know this.
Yes,
but some of the crap that I write to you that you fall for and then wish to have sex with me, Corolla actually comes over and instructs us as we do it.
Mm.
So make sure Cyrano, it's a two for one.
Cyrano de Bonerac, they call me.
I was going to say de Bergerac.
Wow, it was a race for the wiener joke.
All right, race for the wiener, and of course, as per usual, the ace man wins.
All right, whose blog is this?
All right,
we read it before.
You guys are 1-2, I'm 2-1.
Yeah, you're ahead.
Here we go.
Really take the lead with this. Is it Bill Maher, David Mamet, or Michael Moore? If the Democrats really want to mobilize their base, they must push for swing state ballot initiatives that call for reinstating the draft, even if it's a local draft, calling up young men and women to serve in their state's depleted National Guard units. That would really get the Democratic base to turn out en masse. Young people, reasonable mothers and fathers, the anti-war crowd. America's true silent majority.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know who I want.
I'm pretty sure I know who I want.
T?
Well, I want almost none of these people.
Can you pick one?
I'm leaning towards Bill Maher.
Mm-hmm.
Leaning towards on and hitting with a truck, Michael Moore.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, T?
Ooh.
Bill Maher?
I'm torn between Michael Moore and Bill Maher, mm-hmm. But when Michael Moore used the phrase en masse, I guess he was in France for sicko.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is Michael Moore.
Can you imagine a more horrible fate than being torn between Bill Maher and Michael Moore?
Yeah, that sounds bad.
I'd rather be drawn and quartered than
all
torn
right.
between those two.
Danny?
I'm going Moore.
Moore?
Yeah.
T?
I think I will... I got to stick to Bill Maher.
Bill Maher. Bill Maher for Teresa, Michael Moore for Danny, and I am going Mamet. Why?
For the win.
For the win. No, I'm going Mamet because... Why would he be on this list?
I know. I like Mamet.
I go Mamet. So again, we've split three different ways. Here we go.
Teresa's politically correct. Bill Maher.
What the F is Mamet doing on that list?
It's to screw with you.
The second you said it, I went, I didn't even think of that. It's definitely him.
I thought it was something Mamet would say, but then something our people would say. Well, it sounds like something Bill Maher and Michael Moore would say, so we'll pad it out with those two harpies. Damn it. All right, now, T and I are tied at 2-2, Danny 1-3, and we go into the last question.
Okay.
So there's a tiebreaker between you two.
Essentially.
Yep.
This is a
although, wait a minute, Danny can get back into this, too.
Yeah, you can get right back in it, right here.
You're only one behind?
Mm-hmm. One behind.
Here we go.
One and three
okay.
just sounds
is
further
this,
back than that.
I know.
Is this Rosie O'Donnell,
yes.
Kanye West, or Courtney Love? It is in the form of a poem. B.O. Asswipes, showed up at my book signing, camera in hand, cocky young white men, darkness always fights the light, they were bullied out, not soon enough, for my liking, eye to eye, turn it off. Now I should say that the numbers are in the form of numerals,
mm-hmm.
Eye to eye is the numeral two, and for my liking is the numeral four.
All right, so this is Kanye, Rosie.
Or Courtney.
Wait. Okay, you're right. Okay, I'm looking at the numerals. That kind of threw me for a second.
All right. Courtney Cox. Doesn't sound Courtney Cox.
Courtney Love.
Oh, sorry, Courtney Love.
She might say B.O. ass wipes to start a poem.
Yeah, but the rest of it is in English.
Mm-hmm.
That throws me off.
And has Courtney Love written a book? Talks about a book signing.
Yeah, Rosie.
I think she has.
Rosie's done some books. Oh, well, I'm sure all these people have
Kanye
done books.
Kanye has a book out.
He does?
Yeah, it just came out.
All right, I have... we should all write down who we're going for.
Okay.
All right. I'll write the initials here. All right, you good?
Wait, give me that pen back. All right, yep.
All right, I want Courtney Love.
Why did we write them down? So you could
I don't know.
Just to check. Just to check. With,
I want Courtney Love.
Okay, I want Rosie.
I want Rosie.
All right, Rosie, Courtney Love. Bald Brian for either the tie or the win. Oh, wait a minute. Either the win or the win between me and Teresa. No. Who wrote that last blog?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh! Douchebag!
Even
I blame
I
you, Brian.
I still got that one.
It feels good to be back.
I went with Courtney because the ass wipe thing sounded very Courtney Love-esque to me, and then the number thing felt that way, too. I know Rosie's a big blogger. I'm up in my head, you know?
Yeah.
Because I thought that Rosie...
I'm up in your pocket. Hand it over.
All right.
Nice.
I think Rosie, just being such a world-class blogger, I assumed that she would get thrown in on some of these as blogger bait.
Yeah.
You know, you just go, oh, that sounds like something she would say.
I was confused for a moment because, and I don't mean to be gratuitous here, but I would think B.O. asswipe is getting difficult for her to do on her own at that size.
Talking about Rosie?
She might need an assistant.
What is B.O. asswipe?
Well, body odor is the first part. But
I got that.
If using the second part as a verb... I'm not sure that she can do this unassisted.
I see.
Mm-hmm. It's unclear. Yeah, maybe she just gets lowered into some sort of vat.
No, yeah.
After
a bidet,
after going number two.
A bidet also implies that you can reach your arms behind you to the handles.
You mean a bidet crane combo?
Mm-hmm.
Lowers
yes.
her down.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's called
washes.
The crane.
It's a gantry bidet that it's used in shipping yards and the nicer shipping yards.
It's another. It's the brother on Frasier on his spec script. That's what it's about. This Frasier crane,
gantry bidet,
and then the bidet crane. The brother they don't talk
about. We don't need to worry about the writer's strike.
We're fine.
So many good ideas.
Gags like this will be fine.
All right, we have an outro, I do believe.
Until next time, that was Blah Blah Blog.
Teresa will be happy to know that I saw Wicked last night.
What? Did
That's
you love
right.
it?
And
I love most all musicals. And the reason I love most all musicals as opposed to other forms of entertainment is because I could never do it.
Yeah.
And I do judge so much of my appreciation based on that. If I see somebody doing something I can do or I think I can do, I go, no big deal. And when I see somebody do something where I go, there's no way in hell I could ever do that, then I'm impressed.
Right.
We should all sort of do that. That's why modern art, when I see some guy just throwing a bucket of paint at a canvas and a bunch of half a... homos all drooling over it, I think to myself, I could do that. Yeah. Thus, I don't appreciate it. When you see something that Rembrandt did, and you see the stuff that the masters paint, you go, impossible for me to
Can't
do that.
Done.
Yeah, why should you appreciate something you feel like you could do, or worse, your kid could do?
Right. I didn't appreciate the first Cirque du Soleil over that.
You thought you could do that?
I thought, with a little training, it was all feats of strength. It was being able to manipulate your body up a curtain... and it looking like you were defying gravity, but it was really just a matter of strength.
Well,
and then
everything's
they went
really
crazy.
Everything's, yeah, and just a matter of strength is true, but so is a guy jamming a basketball.
I can't do that.
I can't do that.
I can't do that.
I will do that. It's why I appreciate basketball much more than I appreciate baseball. when I see guys playing baseball, I think, nah, I could do that. You know, people argue, oh, well, you think you could? No, but I could play first base in the middle of the season for the Dodgers and not make an error. Most likely.
Really?
Don't know. Yeah. Just get the ball thrown to you or field a few hot balls. I mean, it could. Maybe you don't even get a ball hit down the line to you. You just got to go cover the bag. Yeah, take a day of practice. I could do it. I don't know. I could have a horrible day, but I might not. If I played in the NBA, you would immediately go, what is that guy doing? What is he doing out there? Yeah, just no possible way you're going to play in that sea of sequoia trees that have 40-inch vertical leaps and are having to duck because the back of the backboard is going to hit them on the head when they're jamming the ball. I mean, it's just, it would be impossible. And when I see musical theater, that's what I think. You see, right. When I see guys doing sketch comedy, I go, I could do that. And when I see just regular acting, I go, I could do that or anything. Stand up, even sometimes, you know, the cop out known as spoken word for the unfunny comedians. But when I see musical theater,
Adam.
I go, no way. And I realize, although they have, you know, Broadway actors and musical theater actors have a nice following, the real celebrities are the theatrical actors and are Keanu Reeves is much better known than whoever the big Broadway stars are. And the big Broadway stars get known if they get known from TV.
Right.
And then the sad part is they're known as being the dorky school teacher or the nutty neighbor when in fact they're all brilliant Broadway stars. When you go back and look at the sitcoms you grew up with, sometimes in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, all those people you just thought were sort of lightweights turns out were huge Broadway stars in the 40s and 50s, and now they need a paycheck in the twilight of their career. But after watching it, you know, you thought to yourself, wow, you have to memorize 18 songs alone, and then all the choreography that goes along with those songs, not to mention just the straight acting that goes on, not to mention all the physical movement. I mean, you have to hit your mark, be on this part of the stage, don't fall into that trap door, so on and so forth. I thought, wow, what an undertaking. And again, I just sat there just appreciating it. And more folks should do that, you know, before they go, this sucks, this isn't my scene. Well, why does it have to be your scene?
Yeah.
Does everything need to be your scene? You know what I mean? I mean, like, it wasn't a guy up there watching TiVo and masturbating, although that would be an interesting TiVo the musical. There's not a guy up there. It's just
Adam Carolla story.
Not a guy just masturbating, watching TiVo, and checking eBay for cars. I don't want to see a person. I think there's way too much of, I must see people that mirror and reflect every one of my thoughts and interests. I have no interest in musical theater. I'm not good at it. I've never tried it. I can't sing a lick. I don't care about The Wizard of Oz. I don't care about any of the stuff. And that's why I appreciate it.
It's uplifting to see people who are that talented, like the song before intermission, Defying Gravity.
Right.
Very few professional singers can even sing that song.
It was, it was quite a spectacle, and I just thought, again, I just appreciated it. And I thought, as a society, really, we need to recalibrate ourselves, because the biggest celebrities we have are the folks that make movies, the George Clooney's and the Al Pacino's and the whoever, Meryl Streep's, and you know, the list goes on and on. That is the easiest form of performing there is. When you remove the "you can drop a line and we'll try it again" element from performing, you've now carved out the one part that scares people.
Right. Having to memorize.
Getting up on stage is one of the scariest phobias that people have. I mean, it's above snakes.
Yeah.
Public speaking is one of the things that freaks people out the most. But what if you told everyone, even the most nervous Nelly, even the shyest wallflower who had to get up and make that best man's toast or get up on stage and do whatever, be in a play, what if you said to that person, look, don't worry. If you screw up or stutter or forget a line, we'll just do it again. And there'll be nobody in the room. There's no audience. You trip over a line, we'll pick it up again. And as a matter of fact, we'll just keep going until you get it right. And I'll do you one better. If you don't get it right, we'll use the beginning part of the second take you did,
right,
and we'll marry it to the end part of take 23, and you'll still look smart.
You'll look brilliant.
Well, who couldn't handle that?
Did your wife like the show?
Oh, her.
Your wife, Lynette.
I felt like an alcoholic because during uh-oh, we got separated during the
intermission.
During the intermission, and I went to the
bar.
I went to the cocktail. I went right to the bar, and she went to the bathroom or wherever she went. And I started complaining immediately because all these things are the same. There's so many businesses that are run this way. There's 3,000, maybe 4,000 people all filing out into a lobby. This is a theater crowd. It's in the evening, and fully one-third of them are going to have themselves a libation.
Absolutely.
At this point. And if not a cocktail or a glass of wine, then they want a soda, or they want, you know, these are people who just spent $300, $500, $700 on a ticket. They have $4 to spend on Perrier or Diet Coke, and they want one because right, they've all been sitting in the same place for the last 2 hours. There is one guy working the bar. There's room for three or four guys, but there's the one guy. And then there's the line. And the line is 186 people deep. And the clock is ticking because the intermission is very tight and people are going back into the theater in 14 and a half minutes. And you spend 12 and a half minutes waiting in the line because they won't toss another $8 an hour guy with a tip jar next to him so he can make up the chick's Bloody Mary and pour the red wine. I always scream at businesses this way. Don't do it for me. There's a bottle of Fetzer wine. That bottle costs $6.50 retail. You guys are probably getting it for $5. You're charging $8 a glass. Mm-hmm. You can pour 5 glasses in that little Fetzer bottle, my little plastic cup. You get another guy behind the counter so you can pour twice as much and make twice as much money. Don't do it for me. There's a line here. They always do it. So I buy 2 glasses of wine because I say, Lynette's going to want a glass of wine when I run into her.
You don't mean that.
But now, not really. Now I'm out, now I'm out of time. Now I'm out of time. So I'm chugging my glass. Lynette has already taken her seat, and you can't bring it into the theater. So I'm standing there by the door like I should have been wearing a lampshade. Like I'm chugging one, and I have the other in my hand. And then as soon as that one's done, because I'll not throw away a drop of wine that right, I paid $8 for, and the lights are flashing. It's really a strobe effect of me getting drunk. It's like I'm getting drunk at a disco. And I'm just throwing both away and stagger down the aisle.
Can I help you with, I'm assuming you all saw this at the Pantages.
Yes.
Right.
Well, let me help you with the two Fs that will save you this problem at the Pantages ever in the future.
Frolic Room?
Frolic Room is one of them, and Flask is the other.
Mmm, ah. Flask, little nip. Yeah, Frolic Room's right one door
now,
away.
One, you could go outside, just step around the corner, drink out of your flask, and smoke a cigarette, because you can no longer smoke in the Frolic Room.
Right.
Or you can just chug from your flask as you go into the Frolic Room, get a drink at one of the skeeziest bars in the whole
world.
I
love that bar.
And a nasty-ass hooker.
All right.
With a nice little blemish on her lip.
That's good advice.
Next time.
You guys got to go to the theater with me.
We will take ourselves a break. T.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the news?
A dentist injured his patient because he was rocking too hard. To what song? And also, a little bit of a football roundup and Maxim's unsexiest man.
Man. So we'll get the men and the man.
Right.
We'll get like top 5 guys.
That's right.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll do that next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, a special visit from the deaf frat guy.
Let's get wasted and bang some coolers.
A spirited round of what can't Adam complain about.
I bet you can't complain about Helen Keller.
Horrible light.
Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison and Music Monday. When your alarm goes off in the morning, what song's going to get you going? And what song will make you want to swallow the business end of a 45? We'll find out with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser this morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, yeah. Get it on. T-Bone.
Yep.
Let's do the news, girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
As we discussed earlier, today is the day that Hollywood's TV and movie writers begin their strike. The strike is immediately impacting the late-night talk shows, which depend on current material. Several shows have announced they'll be airing repeats tonight, including Leno and Conan, Letterman and Ferguson, The Daily Show, The Colbert Report. ABC wasn't saying last night what would happen with Jimmy Kimmel, but you mentioned earlier that he is not going to have a show tonight.
Well, not as of like 4 in the afternoon yesterday, though I was pretty drunk. So I don't know. I like a nice buzzed walk home.
That's nice. You're not driving.
No.
Why not have a
buzz walking? Yeah.
Right. It's fine.
I had a few. It's good. Good gay porn name. Buzz walking.
I like it.
Working with Buzz walking. Yeah.
I gotta have more cowbell.
Had a few hits off the Heineken tap and then staggered my way home.
Well, for what it's worth, the last major writer strike took place in 1988. It lasted 22 weeks.
Now, let me tell you how I feel about this. I'm not a union guy. You know, people say, hey, what about your union? You're in that union. What about your union? They force you to join the union.
Right.
They hijack you. I don't know why. Look, why should you have allegiance to any group? Forget about union, just any group where you get a paycheck, but they intercept the paycheck and they take $1,800 and they give you 50 cents worth of dental card and then they tell you you're in. And if you go, I don't want to be in, they go, tough ass. And they force you in. Well, that's my team. Oh, I love those guys. No, they're thugs. They drag you into their union. They force you to join. So that's the way I feel just starting off about almost any union.
But the entity is the thug. The other people are the victims like you.
I totally agree. But when people want me to have loyalty to the group that took my paycheck, F you is what I have to say to that. Now, the other part of it is about 8 years ago, there was some sort of actors thing.
Yeah,
and I was like, F the actors. And then all these pussies got up there and they started whining. All the Jason Alexanders of the world and all the, what's his name? Tim Pussy, McPussy, that 8 foot puss. Tim Meadows. Tim Meadows is 5'9" and a half.
And black. When he said the
no, the guy's married. Right? The guy's married to Thelma and Louise.
Oh, Tim Robbins.
Right.
Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
Right. Meadows, nice.
One of the largest pusses on the face of the earth.
Yeah. So Tim, and they're
love
all
him.
They're all up there whining. Look, great actor and all that stuff.
Shawshank Redemption.
A great movie, but look, they're all up there whining because the commercial actors don't get enough. You know, they were like, these people only work twice a year and they have families. And I'm like, well, get an effing job.
Yeah.
What do you mean they work twice a year? Could you imagine you just announcing, I've only chosen to work twice a year, but I got a pretty big nut. I got a condo. I got a boat that I'm refinishing and I have three kids. So I got to make ends meet. Well, then you must go to work more than 2 days out of the effing year. That was my feeling. I got a bunch of crap from everybody. And they're like, oh, what about you? What about you? What about you? You do. Yes, I did commercials. They negotiate a price and they pay me. It has nothing to do with the minimum or the union. So kiss my ass. But those were commercial actors. When you can be replaced by any monkey with white teeth who can look like they're having fun in the back of a convertible while eating KFC chicken and not saying an effing line, then tough ass. You're replaceable. That's it. Now, the writers, that's a little different because they're creating something and that something is being sold for profit and they're not kissed into the profit. That's another situation altogether. And I'm for this. If you're going to create something and that thing is going to continuously be sold and somebody is making money off the thing you helped create, well, then you should be cut into that.
But didn't somebody write there's a monkey in the backseat of the car with white teeth enjoying KFC?
That guy should be compensated. The 23-year-old junior college dropout who looks good with his shirt off doesn't need to be compensated, and I'll tell you why. Because there's 500 of him on every corner.
I agree with you.
So, Adam, you support your brothers and sisters out on the picket line today.
Well, emotionally, I told the...
Not financially.
Half of them were over at Kimmel's yesterday, and I told them if I drive by, I'll give a honk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to slow down.
I'm going to bring some cookies over.
I'm going to give me a honk. I said, I told everyone, every time a car goes by and honks for solidarity, everyone with a limo tint, that's me. That's me. You can't see. You're right, wondering why I'm driving 170 different cars in one day, but that's me. Anything with a limo tint that gives a toot, that's the ace man. And that goes for all of you everywhere we are.
And if any of them that have a limo tint used to get a toot, that one
that
is me.
That would be the douche man.
People are scared of dentists, and this is not going to help. Mm-hmm. Back in October of 2004, 31-year-old Brandy Fanning of Syracuse, New York, was at the dentist. She was having a left molar drilled out and extracted. And, you know, like is common in dentist's office, her dentist had a radio playing. 57-year-old George Trusty.
Well, now, where did this take place?
Syracuse, New York.
All right. I don't know. Bon Jovi jumped into my head was the first thing that jumped in my head when you asked.
Okay. Everything was fine. He was drilling out the molar. And then a certain song, I won't say what song, came on the radio. The dentist, Dr. Trusty, could not resist the disco funk rhythms emanating from the radio. Mm-mm. So while he drilled Brandy's tooth, according to reports, he was, quote, performing rhythmical steps and movements to the song. That is when Brandy heard a snap. The one-inch drill bit Trusty was using on her tooth had snapped off and lodged in her head right by her left eye. Trusty tried to use a metal hook to pull it out, but that only pushed it up further, driving it into her sinus and bone near her eye socket. He told Brandy to get to an emergency room immediately. She ended up having surgery. She was in the hospital for 3 days, and now, 3 years later, she still suffers from swelling, nerve damage, chronic infections. She wants $600,000 to cover her medical costs, pain, and suffering.
So the drill came out of her mouth and went into somewhere around her orbital socket?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, actually hit her?
Lodged into the orbital, and he tried to get it out with a hook.
It came out of her mouth or broke free and drilled straight up to her head?
No, I think the way this is sounding now, it seems like he had it out. He was doing a move and poked her with it.
That's the way it sounded.
I'm not a big fan of the lawsuits. I know what the question is. I'm not a big fan of lawsuits. I don't like that thing where you do things to yourself.
Yeah.
And then you sue people because they should have known you were going to do something to yourself. Thank or you're breaking into some liquor store and you fall through a skylight. Now you're suing. But being stabbed with a dental drill while the guy's doing the hustle, that's that's grounds for a suit there.
I agree. And $600,000 probably just covers her medical costs.
Yeah.
So what song would inspire the dentist to do something as irresponsible as this?
I'm going Disco Inferno.
Well, let's hear a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Was it this?
Mm-hmm. Casey, all right.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good song. Excellent mashup from Bob Bryan.
If I hear Dirty Laundry stab people, I'll take a dental drill and put it in my ear. Try to scramble myself.
I mean, this song, you have to move. But it could have been, say, this song.
The locomotion? Oh, the hustle?
Close.
A car wash.
That's right.
Sam.
Now, when this song picks up, it's pretty good.
Yeah. We made a whole movie about this song. It was a simpler time when, if you came out with a good enough disco song, they'd build a movie around it. I had this for, like, Thank God It's Friday and all that.
Dude, you remember the roller disco movies? They were writing around stuff for a while.
Yeah.
Even if you were at work drilling a tooth, you might have to dance to this.
Mm-hmm. Car wash is no good anymore because it's all filled with illegal Mexicans. There was a time when brothers worked the car wash and it was Funky Town, USA. Guys with huge hats.
Do-rags.
Little cigarette hanging out of their mouth. Playing shooting some craps in the back, making a little book, doing their own handshake thing. Doing a little spin-around move, whopping that van down. Once in a while, fine mama would pull up in a Cadillac. Woo, you looking good. It was a different time. Let's get the blacks back to the car washes. You know, everything's boring now because we have people that don't speak English working everywhere. There's none of that stuff, you know? None of that can't call the guy your main man. You know, you don't do that handshake. There's no Mexican handshake.
You know, it's weird, though.
Yeah.
I've never had this happen before, speaking thereof. I'm having my blinds put in my new condo, and the guy's coming over to measure.
Mm-hmm.
he doesn't speak a word of English. There is no communication with him. I have to have a neighbor over.
In the 70s...
You could get through, at least.
We were a proud nation that forced black people to work at car washes, and you'd go in, and there'd be a dude, and he'd be on roller skates doing it, and they're like, hey, Lucius, and you do that, give me five, and then you'd give him some change back. And he'd tell you where you could score some weed or where you could find some chicks, or maybe he'd ask you if you're going to make the scene tonight to throw in a big party or what have you. Or
for... my name is Tyrone Washington.
Or he'd notice that you didn't have such a great stereo in your van, and he'd tell you he knows a guy, and for an extra $75, he can buff you out. None of that goes on now. Now it's always, you can't communicate with anyone anymore because no one speaks English, at least here in Southern California. So all you do is you get a guy who hiked over across the Rio Grande last week, and he's waving a flag. He's waving a rag around that signals you to come pick your car up, and then there's a weird, uncomfortable thing, and then you hand him $5 for a tip, and he goes, "Thank you." And then you get in your car. That's it. Right. No handshake. No, nothing. Leave me hanging with the five.
Yeah. Right.
Down low. Down low.
Nothing.
Well, so, ain't happening.
Now, right. Dr. Trusty.
I heard that, by the way, that El Chewy is taking it lot in the Bulfadora over this writer's strike.
Oh,
and
really?
They're just killing him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All the comedy on that station is screwed.
You see? Listen, blacks, let's get back to the car wash. Let's go. You guys have a rich tradition to keep up.
Dr. Trusty could also have been rocking out to this song.
Just walk away from whatever I'm doing. I don't continue to work. Because
what do
you can
think?
Tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man. No,
remember when white guys would wear tight pants?
Yeah.
Now it's all that baggy cargo crap. Can't tell what a guy's packing anymore. Why bother working out?
Remember.
Wear cargo shorts.
I painted these bitches on this morning.
Remember when
every other
white guy
Danny.
Except for Danny? Yes. I'm going to go with the first song. I'm going with Casey and the Sunshine
Band.
Get
down tonight?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Car Wash because it's obscure.
Good point. That's a good point. T?
57-year-old dentist George Trusty could not stop dancing to the sounds of Car Wash.
Good point. Wouldn't have been on the list.
I followed your advice that actually cost
hey!
You last time.
Hey, Otis, my main man. Yeah. What'd it be like, brother?
Remember when Otis was the town drunk in Mayberry? Whatever happened to that?
Can you spare a cool? Yeah. Yeah, boom, bah, ha, boom. The guy's wearing plaits and he's cleaning his shoes. And by the way, he's taking his jumpsuit and he's funkified. He's flared out the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the sleeves cut off. He's wearing a polyester shirt with a big collar over the top.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
Way too late.
By the way, you know how much effort it is going back to Otis? It would take to be the town drunk. Now it is.
In this
it
town.
It was a sweeter time.
Yeah.
When you could be known as the town drunk.
Yeah.
Although there is one in a big city.
That's Lindsay Lohan we sort of have.
What's that guy? Kiefer? He's the world's greatest athlete. Real handsome. Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Airwolf.
Yes.
He's the town drunk
Jan
of Long
Michael
Beach.
Vincent.
Jan Michael Vincent is the town drunk of Long Beach.
All right. What else do we got?
Unsexy men. And you know what? I was just looking at the list of the 11 unsexiest men according to AOL.
Mm-hmm.
And all whitey, it looks like.
Good.
Speaking of. Mm-hmm. So, who does AOL think are the unsexiest men? And by the way, Maxim comes out with a list of the unsexiest women. So this was in response to Maxim's list.
Did this article come out or go to print before or after the Perez Hilton picture?
That's a good question. I assume right around the same time.
I'm assuming I'm not nearly important enough to make the list, no matter what.
Well, this is a strange list.
Well, it'll be one of those stupid things where they have some... It won't be based on looks.
Right. It'll otherwise, based, all 11 are Bruce Valanche.
Like, Alec Baldwin will be on there for yelling at his daughter. It'll be one of those stupid lists.
The list is stupid. And by the way, as a reminder, the women, Sarah Jessica Parker won, and she was followed by Amy Winehouse, Sandra Oh, Madonna, and Britney Spears.
Yeah.
The guys, number 11, Ben Stiller.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, Eric Dane. He's Dr. McSteamy. I don't get it.
Dr. McSteamy?
On Grey's Anatomy.
That's just one of those anti things.
Yeah.
Like, we'll take a guy that all chicks think is hot, and then we'll say he's not hot.
Don't punish Eric Dane.
Yeah, I agree.
Number 9 is a tie between two incredibly good-looking guys, Ryan Phillippe and Josh Hartnett. Look at it.
I think those guys are kind of flatliners in the personality department,
oh, yeah.
and that's what they're responding to. Now, this is men talking about men.
It's
or
AOL.
And didn't one of those people bone the nanny?
No, I think that was Heath Ledger, Jude Law, one
Everyone.
Of those guys.
And Robin Williams.
Right.
And...
Number eight, Pete Wentz.
Huh?
He's a musician.
Huh?
Number seven, James Blunt, also a musician.
You know, you
where he saw that chick in a train station and he got hot for her.
Nothing sexy about his music. He just anybody think that you could just go up and bitch slap is not sexy to me. But this guy was a captain in the Royal Air Force.
Yeah, a serious rank. It's like everyone does something over there. It's like Israel. They'll do a couple of years and then they boot him out with a guitar.
When was the last time a captain in the
Royal
Air Force really did anything?
Number six, Kevin Connolly from Entourage. E.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's too.
So what, none of these guys are the unsexiest.
Well, here's the top five.
Look, you can't pick guys that a bunch of chicks want to F.
Yeah.
And then call him the most unsexy. And if that's unsexy, count me in.
Number five, Howard Stern.
Hmm.
I disagree. I actually find him kind of sexy. I find him sexy.
I agree. I find him to be a wonderful human being, but that man is butt ugly. There's just no two ways about it.
Well, he's tall.
He's a good example of...
charm and wit overcoming.
No, I'm gonna stick to there's that too, but I will stick to the physical part. There's certain people that aren't living up to their physical potential.
Right.
Once in a while you'll see a guy and this guy will be a serial arsonist or he'll be some sort of petty thief or something. He'll have done something retarded like abducted his stepdaughter or something weird. And they'll show a picture of the guy and he'll have a bad goatee and maybe a two-stage mullet or something. But you'll look at the picture and you go, this guy's a really good-looking guy, like has really good bones.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to be in great shape and everything, but he can't get laid because he's got the stupid mullet. And he's really into Queensryche, and he never stops talking about it. And he has no sense of style, and he doesn't carry himself right. He wears cologne that comes in a bottle shaped as a football. And you just think to yourself, wow, this guy's great bones, and he's not capitalizing on it at all. Now, guy like Howard Stern, bad bones, but he's put together a thing. Like, his hair is long. He wears the sunglasses. If you saw him with just a buzz cut in bad frames, you'd go, wow, that is the worst looking man on the planet. But he's put together, obviously, the sense of humor and the money and the bravado and the style and all that's enough to attract a beautiful woman. But physically, he's put himself together a look that works for him, because if he was just a businessman and he put himself in a bad Botany 500 suit and cut his hair short, he would be a disaster.
He would be just a shade up the evolutionary scale of Penn Jillette.
Right.
Yes, I agree. He's a triumph of style and good grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Simon Cowell. Now, he's done the best he could with what he has. I mean,
what
he obviously
the bloody
he
hell?
He spends a lot on his hair and clothes.
This is going to sound odd coming from me.
Yeah.
But the really tight T-shirts, when your man boobs away from being able to wear those shirts, that's a bad call.
So you're saying those tight T-shirts are a privilege, not a right. He hasn't earned it.
He has not earned my shirts.
The top three unsexiest men.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there that have nice arms, but they have man boobs.
Right.
And so what they do is they go, hey, I got nice arms. And they're looking in the mirror and they're looking at their nice arms. And they go, I have to get myself a nice, tight, V-neck, form-fitting T-shirt to show off my nice arms. Well, the other thing that thing is showing off is your man boobs.
What do you wear then? A muscle shirt?
You wear a blouse with the sleeves cut off.
Ah.
That's what I used to wear.
Good idea.
I got a closet full of them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, also, big abs. Big mistake. Big mistake. Even on my Perfect Push-Up commercial coming up later, it says, don't you want big arms, big shoulders, big abs? No, you don't. Big abs under a shirt, they're a muscle like anything else, and you make them big, and it looks like you have a belly. You want shredded abs. But he's got man boobs and can't wear those shirts.
Wilmer Valderrama is the third unsexiest. Mm-hmm. He used to be on that 70s show.
He used to be on every chick in town.
Yeah,
he was with Lindsay, and he's cute. I don't get that one. Brandon Davis has really earned his place at number two. He's that greasy trust fund kid that called Lindsay Firecrotch.
Oh, yeah.
And number one, Pete Doherty.
Who?
Pete Doherty.
Oh.
He's this rocker guy.
Yeah.
I think he used to be with Kate Moss.
Yes, he's a loathsome guy. The guy's always going on like the British tabloids, spitting at the cameras and stuff like that. He's always getting busted for, doing coke and smacking paparazzis and stuff like that. And he's always just like smoking with his wool cap pulled down over his eyes. Yes, he is a world-class jackass, but A, chicks dig that. Obviously good enough for Kate Moss.
Ugh.
And by the way, this is why we all hate you women. Because one of the most highest paid models on the planet, Kate Moss. Kate Moss, it's sickening when you find out what these models bring down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, oh, okay, so what? She gets $250 an hour to walk down a catwalk? What's that good for a year? Oh, $19 million. Huh? How does that work? Kate Moss, in the last 10 years, and she's had her troubles with, coke and law and all that kind of stuff.
That only helped her career.
Yeah. Kate Moss, in the last 10 years, has probably made close to $100 million that 10 years. A sickening amount of money for being what some people think is one of the most beautiful women on the planet. She hooks up with a guy with a band and a band you've never heard of. Who's unattractive, who spits at the camera, who flicks cigarette butts at the paparazzi and walks around with a wool cap pulled over his eyes. That's why we hate women. Because you guys go for that crap.
I don't.
You fall prey to those a-holes. You love that stuff, and we hate you for loving that. Every time a guy sees a really hot chick with that kind of guy, we just go, ugh, we all die a little bit. I can't believe you guys are so naive. You fall for that bad boy crap.
Oh my God! I've given up because I've decided he's such a non-entity that it kind of lowers my billing to get upset about it. But my girlfriend's last boyfriend is one of those guys. He's a club DJ with the hat down and won't speak to you and thinks he's all badass. And it's like I like you a little less when I found that out.
But, yeah,
isn't that awful? You find out the territory your girl left, and it lowers her property value for you.
Well, once in a while, you have a friend, and he's got one of his buddies in from out of town, and you're going to go out and have a few beers because he's in here on business, and you're introduced to the guy, and he's a world class jackass,
yeah.
And he's a little bit racist, and he loves NASCAR, and you think, your friend's stock went down.
Yep.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little
you can
bit.
Still be friends, but you go, this guy's a great guy. He's your buddy. He's your pal.
By the way, wouldn't want to give him any credit at all, but in his club DJ name, he is named after a wild animal that you would see, like wolf or something like that. I know. It's hard not to vomit on her when
look,
I have sex.
Let me explain something.
Which I think is rude, by the way.
I was
trying to hold that back, that gagging thing.
I was saying that we got to get the brothers back to the car wash to do a little roller boogie and really put a nice coat of Carnauba on the Ace Man's custom van. That we need. We also need the brothers to get back and start spinning at the clubs.
No.
There's nothing worse than white guys and T-hold years, but a lot of Jewish white guys behind that those two turntables over there doing their spinning with their retarded names.
DJ AM, for example.
All those guys. It's ridiculous. Put the brothers back there.
Please.
And by the way, is every black guy employed, gainfully employed? None of them. No one's on the dole. No one's hanging out, drinking a 40 on a porch. You guys have families. They have unfinished furniture businesses that you can walk right into. Do you have to take the brother's job and go out there and do it? All right, brothers, get back to the car wash and let's start spinning.
I'll leave you with this. Sarah Jessica Parker responded to Maxim naming her the unsexiest woman by saying, I believe in the old sticks and stones philosophy, so frankly, their words don't come close to hurting, and it does not bother me in the least. If people don't think I'm sexy, I don't think I am either.
Oh.
I know.
You know that would hurt you.
I was just thinking, sticks and stones and all words, they all hurt.
I say sticks and stones, and that I would give her my bone now. For having said that.
Right.
If you don't think I'm sexy, because she has a great body, interesting hair, she just has a horse face.
She's better than Pete puts the dough in Doherty.
I agree. All right, T?
I'm Teresa Strasser, that's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser, you CNN.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. The Def Rat Guy is here, everybody. He's live and in studio. We'll bring in Maverick next.
He's looking confused.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
In the day we sweat on campus in the classrooms of USC. At night we ride through sorority mansions with beer-chugging machines made from tubes of PVC injected with lager-8 brew capacity. Oh, a 6-beer bong will put Moose on his back. A 2-beer bong, Ashley will work your sack and let you shave her rug. But Delta Foos like us, baby, we were born to chug.
I never can tell with parody songs if I like the parody song because it's funny or I just like Born to Run so much that I'm glad to hear any facsimile of it. Maybe both. Maverick?
Hell yeah, Delta Foo.
Great to see you. What's wrong? Why the long face, man?
I don't know how long was the first time that I sat in this chair.
No, oh, man, it's been over a year, probably. Yeah. Well over a year.
Well over a year.
Yeah, well over a year, yeah. Coming up on 2 years. What's up, Mav?
I'm no further along in my career than I was when I first sat in this chair, when I first darkened the doorway to the studio.
For those who don't know it, Maverick, Def Rat Guy, now 7th-year senior over at USC, was thrown out of the Teak House, I believe, asked to leave the Teak House, now has started his own frat house, Delta Foo.
Hell yeah, Delta Foo!
And you're feeling like you're not getting along in your career as much as you could.
We came in here in good faith. I sat here, but every week I sat here, only to see the airtime dwindle away, the paychecks reduced to nothing. I was making money on T-shirts, and I have to feel that they are. There's something going on.
All right, well, Mav, let me say this. We tried you doing some entertainment reporting, some financial reporting. We tried you doing a restaurant report, movie reviews, and things like that. It just didn't really take.
You didn't. It's like a fine wine; it has to marinate.
It's been over a year and a half. Right.
You're mixing your metaphors, dude.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been marinating for some time now.
Yeah,
it's just not.
You've been marinating since I've known you, bro.
Do we have? Do you have?
Yeah. Look, the thing is, I had the restraining order against you.
Are you mad at me again?
What did Danny do?
I had a sworn... what is the word for the...
Oh, he's doing sign language. Affidavit, Def Rat Guy.
You know some sign, Brian?
Yeah, we hang out with Def Rat Guy a lot.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, okay.
I
so
had
he gets frustrated, he does sign.
Right. Against you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I felt safe coming into the studio again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You pay attention to me.
Whoa. Wait a minute, Mav. You're taking it out on the wrong guy.
You watch me when I'm talking to you.
Okay.
I can hear. I don't have to watch you.
Yeah, don't threaten us. You know, we're just doing a radio show here. You know, I feel like you had ample opportunity to contribute to the show, and I frankly just didn't show up some of the time.
And a lot of times you showed up, you were clearly intoxicated.
Who in this room is not, or has not done that before?
Well,
I'm a college student.
I know.
Well, are you a college student or are you a broadcaster?
Yeah, and I mean, you're going to graduate soon. What is your major?
Comm.
Communication.
Oh, I thought he actually meant comm, and I thought, wow, you're failing.
I stand here taking, you know, a ration of bullcrap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can call it, you and I, we made a thing. Look, bro, I want that chair back.
Back?
It was never
really
yours.
You want Danny's chair?
I want it back.
He'll throw it at you.
I was just thinking that, dude, I had a little minor breakdown this weekend. I really did. My wife dropped off the kids, and she couldn't figure out the gate to get out of my new condo, the code.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, let me out of here right now. And I said, say please.
Oh.
And she said, right now. And I said, say please. And she said, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to call 911. And I'm going to tell them you are holding me captive against my will.
She's in her car.
Yeah.
And gets home with a potato gun.
So I looked at her and I said, here's the problem with blackmail with me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play your card. I think one more guy suing me. We got Fairplay suing me. We got this cat suing me. You're asking for my chair. And my first response is, Adam beat me to it. Mm-hmm. My first response is to give it to you and then have it surgically removed from your body. But, and my wife is calling and saying, I'm going to call 911. And I go, well, just call. Because the second you put me out of work, you stop eating.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She needs you.
You can't mm-hmm. You can't play your blackmail cards. You're screwed. So just be polite and say please. And she, unlike Mav, saw the logic there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's no logic in what you're doing.
I agree with you that chicks, you can't live with them. You can't live without them.
Yeah, you can't kill them.
Mav, who's going to buy your pizza pockets if Danny's out of work?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I don't have money to buy a pizza pocket.
All right.
When you are there, look, when Pucci at the house is nailing a chick and we are all standing around watching, you sit and you watch and you tape maybe, but you do not butt in to jump in and start banging away.
Right. So you're saying etiquette suggests that you can watch, possibly masturbate and film, but you would never jump in while Pucci was on a chick.
I was in the middle of telling my story.
I know. Okay, calm down. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm confused.
I'm not seeing the side of him.
He's upset. And here's what Adam, you've been in radio a long time, and I feel like this is a moment for a reckoning.
Some would say too long.
Some would say. Now, does Maverick have a career in broadcasting, or is this the moment when you crush his dreams for his own good?
Don't put this as a
Uh-oh. He's signing again.
Faustian bargain.
Okay.
Wow. Brian, you really do.
That's amazing.
Faustian ain't fooling around, man. You sold your soul for that talent.
He had to spell it out.
That was amazing.
Wow, that was quick, though.
Maverick's knowledge of literature is more rich than I assumed.
How about Bald Brian's knowledge?
Sometimes there are words that do not, you know them in
no
in ASL, but the sign eludes you.
So you had to spell out Faustian bargain? He did that in like 3/10 of a second.
We had Cyrano de Bergerac in this room now twice, once for the unhearing.
We were hanging out at homecoming on Saturday, and he used that term at least 3 or 4 times. So I was familiar with it.
Yeah, he loves the Marlowe.
Drunk in
I'm
the morning.
I'm trying to improve my chances to be a professional broadcaster.
Okay.
Let's return. I think we should return to your question, or that you should just decide what it is you want from me and ask for it.
Let's see, 4 legs. I don't need Brian for this one. It's got 4 legs, a back, a bottom. It's called a chair.
Mm-hmm.
You're in one. Do you want this one instead?
I want your chair. I want to be over there broadcasting.
Oh, and well, hold on a second. So, Mav, you want to be...
And 1,000 Delta Fools are backing me up. They want me to have the job, too, so I can spread the good word.
Okay. Well, Mav, I'll tell you what. Just for fun, why don't we do this? Why don't we do, like, a news story or something like that? And let's just see what you would do, how you would react, and how you would play. You know, that's the gig. You hang out, you know. There's no script. There's no teleprompter. We just play it by ear.
I can give him a story and see how he
goes.
Does.
We go. Let's pretend T's doing the news. And Mav, let's see how you would do.
But I think I'm better to sit back and take pot shots.
Look,
that's exactly what you're about to do.
That's what you're about to do.
Okay, you ready?
All right. Play the music, Bald Brian.
There we go.
I'll do what I do. I won't throw it all on you.
He'll help you.
Now what should I do? Should I remain silent? He tries to do what I do?
Yes, he is you.
Okay, Maverick. Gotta be ready with your pot shots. Tucker Chapman, the son of Dwayne Dog Chapman, reportedly sold that tape of Dog's racist rant to the National Enquirer for a paltry $15,000.
$15,000 for that, to forever sever the relationship he had with Pops and get his show pulled off the air, too. I'm sorry,
The darker the meat, the better the treat.
It's true. Tucker's girlfriend is black.
I was aware of the story.
Yeah, we knew the story.
Not bad. Do you know the show that he does on A&E?
The one when he arrests the Hawaiian, the ice heads.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, people are doing meth over there in Hawaii.
I always find that that show is a little bit like, these are not dangerous people. They're just innocent, the jump bail or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to see people that are really dangerous, like on America's Most Wanted.
A&E has taken Dog the Bounty Hunter off the schedule for, quote, the foreseeable future, but they are not canceling it yet.
Didn't Dog was the guy who went and brought back the Factor guy from the
Max Factor heir?
Yeah, the heir from Mexico, right?
From Yucatan
Peninsula. I believe
so.
Yeah. See? See, Danny knew where that was from.
Understandably, money was probably not Tucker's only motivation. He also wanted to get back at his father for lashing out with racist comments about his girlfriend.
Yeah, see, we were talking about it last week, and I said, how much could they have offered? $100,000 or whatever? $15,000.
Once you go black, you do not go back.
Now, is that frowned upon over at the fraternity house, or is that okay with everyone?
It's pretty frowned upon.
No, really? Now, they have black fraternities. They must have black sororities, too, although I never hear about them. Maybe not enough of them make it to the NFL.
It's not a racist thing.
Do they have black sororities, right?
But it's just like, man, when you are nailing a chick, you don't want to look down and see a big cattle brand across her butt.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
that's what the black sorority girls do.
The sorority girls.
They get branded,
But they do it right above the ass crack.
Yeah, bitch brand.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
I don't know. I think I made it up. Yeah, the guys in the black sororities oftentimes will have the branding. In the Alpha or Omega, I think, is the one. And you'll see it on their upper arms. And folks with dark skin, the keloid, the scars keloid. So they stand out. So branding is a nice way to go there. But I didn't know the sisters did it as well.
Hell yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maverick's doing all right job.
You know what would really cap this off, though? If you could produce a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Can you add to the story by saying, I understand the feeling, I know what it's like to feel so much passion about something.
I was thinking about that before you, I saw in your body language that you were threatening me.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, no, wait a minute. Mav.
You had a look of threatening me.
Mav, hold on a second.
Just
hold on a second. First off, Tia's calling from Seattle. Mm. Tia?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, everybody. I was just getting concerned because he's getting so upset. It almost sounds like he's one of those fans that gets delusional. And
like a Selena situation.
Yeah.
He thinks that the only reason why it's not Adam Carolla with Maverick is because of Danny.
I know.
But Tia, what you're saying is it's not because of Danny. It's just because maybe Maverick isn't cut out for this.
Correct.
Hey, Mav, quickly. Thank you, Tia. Mav.
Thank you, Tia.
Quickly, before we go to break, you know, another thing Danny does is he does his slice of life stuff. Talks about his family.
What he did over the weekend.
Crazy stories.
Crazy stories, right.
Over the weekend, see if you can top this.
Right.
I think this goes a little bit with this story right here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Danny's taking off. This is unusual that he would expose himself.
He's taking off his
clothes.
Oh, no!
He got branded.
He has a huge A scar on his left ass cheek.
Next to a Band-Aid, by
the way. It took me a second to get over the panties, because they look like an American flag.
Is that a Satan A?
They're from Victoria's Secret. They're women's underwear to cover my brand.
Those are cute.
Mm-hmm.
How did you brand that A into your ass?
Bent a paperclip and put it on the stove.
Is that Amy's A?
It is now. I'm imagining it could be changed. I got lots of tattoos that don't say what they used to.
It's good. It's a vowel that's in a lot of names.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what would make you do that?
Boredom.
Love and boredom.
Now, Maverick, what did you
Mav,
do? That
yeah,
would be
do you
similar.
Have do you have a little slice of life story?
That beats the smelling of burning flesh.
Yes.
Well, it was homecoming.
Yeah.
And I did that too.
You know the full size Tommy Trojan helmet?
Yeah.
That can hold 8-9 brews.
Right.
One
to your head?
One shot to the head.
Wow. All right.
That's not bad.
But
bad.
You know what else? Pretty big news at the house.
Yeah.
Poochie, he had been trying to do this for a couple, like, 2 weeks now. He was with a new girl, and she did a...
Hold on, you can't do that. You can't blank. Can you...
Can you beep sign language?
Listen, Oprah said toss salad. We're allowed to say toss salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think we're having for lunch?
How you make sure the dressing is on all the leaves.
That's right.
He had been working away for 2 weeks trying to get her to do this, and finally she succumbed to his desire.
I see.
That's the story.
All right. Well, okay. Okay, Mav, look, we got to take a break. You know, I'll give that a C, C plus.
Yeah,
you know,
easily.
That's pretty.
That's okay. It was
don't
decent.
Don't complain with C.
Okay, but I'm just saying. You know, I feel like every story being about you chugging brews or what you know, Maverick or you know, Ferret Boy did in the frat house. It's just going to get a little old.
Let me just sit back. I don't even have to be mic'd. I'll do it with Danny. Let me just sit back and take pot shots.
I mean, just from the corner?
Yeah. And then I'll make copies or whatever.
Just going to yell them out?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work. Mav, I'll tell you what we have to do. I got to think about this. Meanwhile, Nikki Fink, who's Nikki Fink? She's an L.A. Weekly columnist. She has the skinny on the writer strike. She's been speaking to both sides. So the strike that has gripped our nation, the day the comedy died, we're going to get some information on this because I have a lot of questions about it. Yes, Mav?
Plug the shirts.
Oh, that's right. Go to defratguy.com. Get yourself, you can get a Cougar Crossing shirt. I saw Ozzy wearing one last weekend.
Awesome shirt.
Please.
I like the beer bong shaped as a Christian fish myself.
I'm saying please, like, so you don't shove a stool up my ass.
Nothing, buddy. I
said please.
All right.
And I said no problem. I've always had no problem with you. Your problem with me is imagined. The only time I ever got up out of the chair and let you know that I was displeased with you was when you held a restraining order up in front of your face. And it wasn't the displeasure with you. It was the displeasure with authority that I explained to you that I would punch straight through your legal document into your skull. It was one time and one time only. You've come here and jumped on me 20 times, yet you survive.
That's right. To jump another day. All right.
Hell yeah.
Do a beer bong. DefRatGuy.com.
If you're not wasted, the day is.
Hell yeah. Great t-shirts. We'll take a quick break. Be back with Nikki Fink from the LA Weekly to explain this whole strike situation. What you think about that?
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Up here in Northern California, we all like you and listen to you. Keep on trucking, homie, and we're listening to you. Take it easy, bro. See ya!
Hello! Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Nikki Fink is on the phone. She writes about the entertainment business for the LA Weekly. And she has some insights on this strike, which is now, an hour old. Nikki?
Insights? I have frustration and aggravation.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so do we, but we don't have your column.
I mean, you know, they're forcing me to have to cover this every day. I'm going to wind up in an insane asylum.
Well, what's going on? What doesn't the general public know, and how's it going to impact them?
Well, last night and yesterday was really... It was a nail-biter, and it was a seesaw, and it ended badly. What happened was the federal mediator dragged the two sides back to the negotiating table. But there was this new kind of spirit of willingness.
Can I ask you quickly, how does the federal mediator work?
Federal mediator gets assigned to every major strike at the beginning. And then he chooses the appropriate time to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
He is also asked to get involved. And at this point, the producers, a couple of weeks ago, asked him to get involved. What he then does is try to sweep away the brush, so to speak, get rid of all the side issues and start tackling the heavy lifting ones.
Do we really need one of these guys for the writers? I mean, I know when air traffic controllers want to go on strike or the guys who run the trains want to go on strike, we need to get a federal mediator in there because we can't have the airports closed down. But so what? We don't see a new episode of Grey's Anatomy. You know what I mean? I mean, does this really require the federal government to get involved?
Well, we're talking about a 1988 strike that cost the industry $500 million, and the estimate on this one is that this strike could cost, you know, Los Angeles and the industry $1 billion. I mean, that's not exactly chump change.
Right. A lot of taxes to get to, so I guess they want to get their beak wet. So the federal mediator shows up, gets the two sides together, cuts through all these sort of ancillary brush, and gets down to the heart. What are the two big problems, or three, or one?
Well, the biggest question is, which side is going to give on new media? I mean, it's a classic battle. The producers say, you know, we're not making money at it yet, so how can you ask for money? And the writers say, look, we lost out on home video. We lost out on DVDs. Now you're going to be doing electronic sell-throughs. We're not losing out on this.
Right.
So this is basically where it all comes down to. But there was real progress being done yesterday, because basically the moguls had finally, you know, awakened from their slumber and thought, oh, there really is going to be a strike on Monday.
Right.
And, you know, as they take away the, you know, they eat their little sandwiches with Grey Poupon and foie gras and caviar. And the writers, you know, sort of wake up from their reverie and go, I got to picket for 20 hours on Monday if we don't settle this thing.
Mm.
And so they wake up from their reverie, and basically, you know, they came there thinking, you know, maybe this is going to happen. So negotiations continued, and real progress was being made. And then they all go to dinner, and I swear to God, in every aspect of this strike, the minute these guys go to dinner, everything falls apart.
Really? Mm.
They go to dinner. They come back, and you know, one of the guys is like surfing the net on his computer in the negotiation and goes, hey, wait a minute. The Writers Guild East is out on strike already. And this is after the producers had asked the Writers Guild, you know, look, we're making progress here. Can we at least wait on the strike while the talks in the West are going on?
So the East Coasters went on strike just because of the time difference?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then the producers got their noses all out of joint and said, well, that's ridiculous, you know, and they walk off, and the Writers Guild walks off, and they're still arguing about who walked off first.
Nikki Fink, by the way, is who we're speaking to. She's a columnist for the LA Weekly, and she writes about this stuff. And we figured who better to speak to. So now everyone's on strike. How will this affect us tonight when we turn on the television set?
I don't think there's much to worry about tonight. There may not be much to worry about this week. You know, probably the late night shows are going to be hit first.
Right.
They'll scoop up all the jokes that they didn't run or were passed over, so they'll look at their inventory.
Ooh, hopefully my Ross Perot bit will show up.
here come all the OJ jokes again.
He's a really old bit.
Hey, I tell you what, that Zsa Zsa Gabor punched a cop the other decade. Did you catch that?
You've got that Valdez bit. It's still good.
Oh, man. Hey, but Nikki, aren't they... I don't think they're going to do a show tonight. I know Kimmel isn't doing a show, and I talked to Kimmel and Leno yesterday, and they both said no shows tonight.
Well, nobody knows. I mean, you know, nobody knows. I mean, people are wandering right now into their respective studios and wondering what they're going to do. I mean, people are going to show up for work.
I know, but respectfully, I think they know. I mean, at least the two I spoke to knew. I can't, and actually, John, my agent is John Stewart's agent. Actually, he's probably the other way around.
John Stewart's agent is your agent.
That's probably the way it is. And Colbert and other guys like that, and he said everyone's just going to take a couple weeks off. You know, I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but it is Monday, and I'm sure people will find out in the next hour or so.
Actually, John Stewart is going to personally be paying his writers for the next 2 weeks. I don't think you knew that.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
And but they're not going to be doing the show.
No, the writers are not going to be working. But what you're kind of discounting a little bit is that there are plenty of comedians out there who are not WGA members.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wouldn't put it, you know.
Well, I think there's a here's what's going on, I think.
But wait, let me say this.
Yes.
You know, there's some very heavy Christmas movie promotions that take place between now and the end of the year.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Who? Where's the venue for these guys to, you know, Daddy Daycare 3's coming out in a scant few weeks. Where?
You know what?
Where
we're
going to
be getting
able to promote
a lot
it?
Better guests.
That's right. Sloppy firsts for a change.
Yeah.
Nikki, let me ask you this.
Sure.
How will the writer's strike affect shows like Ellen and The View?
That's another good question. Basically, look, everything is affected. I mean, you can't think for a moment that everything isn't. I mean, even some of the reality TV shows that we think aren't affected are. Not every reality TV show is not a WGA signatory. So it's really hit and miss. I mean, you know, the studios are trying to figure this out. The writers are trying to figure this out. This is also a very complicated situation because your audience may not realize that many of the TV show heads wear two hats. They're called hyphenates. They're writers and they're producers. So many of them are literally going into work today to act as producers on the shows that they are on the picket line protesting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really kind of crazy.
I heard this as it pertains to Ellen. I heard that her writers are labeled as segment producers.
So, well, that's it. There's a lot of, you know.
So she can get by with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there's technical jargon. I mean, most writers on a TV show, you know, are at least producers and writers.
Yeah.
I mean, they wear double titles. I mean, the Writers Guild issued a statement yesterday that was one of the strongest statements I've ever seen that basically was saying, you know, you're going to be ratted out by your fellow writers if you write, if you, you know, if you go over the line and try and do writing and producing. I mean, they, you know, you could be drummed out of the guild. But I've got to tell you, you know, in 88, there were major writers who broke the strike, you know, and basically wrote, and didn't care who knew it. And they weren't thrown out of the union. They were major writers. You can't throw major writers out of the union.
Well, two things. One, we're talking about The View, and it's true.
Well,
yeah, I don't know who's going to write this for Whoopi, if you would just listen, Nikki Fink.
Well, there was evil in Hitler's Germany, right?
Yes.
And many people were killed, and, you know, that's there have been other things that have happened since that, other genocides. Those people who are the victims of genocide, let's say, and they, let's say they survive it after they've been, I mean, you've seen those movies, so you know what people went through.
That's
do you think
Joy
that they
Behar.
Should forgive the Nazis?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I don't
why
think so.
Well, I think because one of the things that happens when you get nationalism whipped up in a country is people start going, it's them. It's not us. It's them. It's not us. Let's go get them. We saw it happen. We saw it happen here. People started saying, oh, yeah, it's all those people. You know, those people from the other countries, you know, the ones that wear stuff over their head and they're coming over here. And all those illegal people, they're coming. We got to get rid of them. And we got to get. And so everybody starts going, we got to take care of it. Yeah, we got to take care of it.
Yeah.
And it is so easy to fall into
it's
it.
It's a mob mentality.
And so
what I've
come to understand, really, over the last several years.
Speaking of understanding, I don't understand a word she said.
The writer's strike started for her a few days ago.
I think she may have been improvising, but The View and Ellen employ actual WGA writers.
They do?
They do?
Sure.
Nobody writes for The View.
I will tell you this.
They segment produce.
I've had two daytime talk shows and two reality shows. The reality shows I wrote myself, but by the time they're done twisting them, nobody wrote them. There's not a written by credit on either of those shows. On my daytime talk shows, nobody got a written by credit either because they were all segment producers. And this is years ago, way before a strike was even in sight. So I don't know how much the daytime talk shows will be affected.
So, Nikki,
also, you
Fink,
can bring
yes.
in, I mean, people forget, you know, for those kind of shows, as if anybody gives a damn about them, you can bring in independent producers, freelance writers.
Would they be considered scabs?
Yeah. Of course they're going to bring in scabs. I mean, don't think for a minute they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And will that affect the scab's future career?
Well, supposedly, if you are a scab, you will never be allowed to, you know, join the WGA.
Right.
But
the good news is there's no greater picket line to cross, no easier. You know, Teamsters, you get to
Get
the ass beaten out of you with a pool cue. The riders were just a bunch of guys yelling, good day, kind sir.
I think the Teamsters are supporting the riders.
Yes, the Teamsters announced several weeks ago.
Now we got trouble.
Yeah.
That what they were doing was, it was not a union-sanctioned strike, but what it was the head of the Teamsters, Local 399, it's just basically your Hollywood local.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't cross picket lines. Teamsters don't cross picket lines.
Like
you do what you want. It's known as exercising the, quote, conscience clause.
Right.
Right.
So, Nikki Fink, quickly, when do you think this will be resolved? Is there any light in sight at the end of the tunnel?
If this strike is not resolved in the next month, it's going to be long, bitter, costly, 9 months at the minimum.
Wow.
Wow, we got to stop these guys from going to dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, Nikki Fink, thank you very much.
What about talent? Real quick, what about talent? If you're invited onto a show, are you a scab if you cross that picket line to promote whatever it is you're there to promote? Does etiquette say do not cross that picket line?
That is actually an issue right now that everybody is talking about, because the Screen Actors Guild is technically in support of the strike.
Right.
However, they have announced that they will be crossing picket lines.
Yeah.
And it's your feeling that Leno and Jon Stewart and those shows are going to be doing shows tonight?
I think that they will be. I don't think that, as I said, I think there's enough material already.
I know, but what about Solidarity?
Yeah,
but people were writing, you know, yeah, but come on. It's also, let's make a buck.
No, I know, but here's the deal. I think you're wrong on this one, because I spoke to the guys less than 24 hours ago. They don't want the writers to think they're going to leave them dangling and exposed. There's a solidarity. Now, that only goes so far, because eventually everyone else on the staff needs to work and they have to go back to work. But I think there'll at least be a gesture made for a couple of weeks to say, as the host, I stand by my writers. That's my feeling.
On the schedule right now is for a new show tonight.
On which show?
For instance, Leno.
Oh, now who's going to be on?
That I don't know.
Ooh, that would be
Lady Bird Johnson and Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
I'm going to Andy Bonner, Adam Strauss.
Hey, Jay, I'm right here, buddy. Yeah. I don't give a rat's ass about that union. Hey, Nikki Fink, thank you very much.
Okay, no problem.
Good times.
Thanks,
I think Kimmel doesn't do a show on Mondays in general. Is that true? That would save him the ethical dilemma.
I'm very curious. Like I said, I ran into Leno yesterday, practically on my way to Kimmel's house.
You are the glue that holds together our late-night comedians.
And I said, what's going on? And he said, I don't know. But he said, he's not going to be doing a show. Or at least that's how he knew it at that point. And I said, how long does this go on? And he said, well, Carson did it for like 2.5 months. But he sort of indicated that maybe he wouldn't be doing it for that long.
Right.
Because, again, it's not just the writers. There's grips and there's cameramen and there's another, I don't know what percent the writers make up of the staff, but less than 10%.
Oh, sure.
And there's another.
Other people got to eat.
Another couple hundred people got to eat. We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, because it's Monday, Music Monday, everybody. Now, it's Monday morning. We've changed the clocks. You're a little off your game, and that clock radio goes off. What song is going to send you bounding out of bed and attacking the new day? And what song makes you just want to pull the cover over your head and go for another 10 hours or put a gun in your mouth and end it all? Music Monday, next.
Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Another Music Monday. Your alarm goes off in the morning. What's going to set you up for a great day? And what's going to make you want to hit the snooze forever?
Motorin.
866-901-ADAM. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, what's your price for flight? All right. Now, I hate my number one bad song so much, it's all I can do not to get into it right now and just tear it a new a-hole. And I will say this, too. Normally, my bad stuff is from the 70s or 80s. This is an 07 song.
Really?
This is a brand new song that I hate that much. It was torn from today's play sheets. All right. We will start with good. What's a good song? What song's going to make you feel good about getting up? Nobody likes to wake up in the morning when that alarm goes off. There's always that, Christ. But if this song came through the clock radio, I'd bounce out of bed. It's called the Happy Organ.
Huh. I always have a happy organ in the morning.
Now it's campy. But you'd have a smile on your face. 1959.
The year of my birth.
Oh, really? Happy organ playing in the background.
That's kind of happy.
Dave Cortez. Killed himself some months later.
Not soon enough.
You know, the organ has a lot of range because it's kind of a funeral type instrument, and then here it's so happy.
Right. I know. It's great. It's great at a funeral. It's great at a church. It's great at a ballpark. What other instrument's great at a church and a ballpark?
I'll tell you, nothing better than when you go to the El Capitan right next to Jimmy's theater.
Yeah, they pull out that 40-foot pipe organ.
Comes up from out of the floor, and there's that guy going nuts, man. It's a very cool instrument.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this.
You pop out of bed, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's the happy organ. Now, that's a good example. That's something I would like to hear in the morning. If this came through my clock alarm, I would just sprint to the kitchen, shove my head in the oven, and turn the gas on. Ugh, it's grating, it sucks, it's for posers. I'm tired of all these pussy tough guys. They get themselves an earring and a tattoo, and they're all edgy. Limp Bizkit sucks. Fred Durst sucks. This band sucks. This music sucks. Do we all have to pretend like we're into this so we can be cool?
No, we don't.
No. And here's how you know they suck. They're gone. And good artists hang out. They just keep reinventing themselves. They keep doing other things. You're not going to hear any more from Limp Bizkit. Why?
Nope.
They suck.
Because they're going to go the way of
I don't want to hear about taking a cookie and putting it at my ass at 5 in the morning.
Some of us just don't know how to live. I just don't want to hear this guy tell me about it.
What?
Yes. This is what the kids are dancing to, T.
Don't you want to get in the mosh pit?
Come on.
I don't want the cookie up my ass.
That's not what I've heard, actually.
All right, where were we? All right, so that's bad. Now here's a completely...
We were deep in my imagination just a moment ago, but now what?
Here's a completely... Oh, look, Keebler Factory, good name for TSV.
All the elves are happy.
All right, let's change gears. Again, in the bad department... Just a different kind of bad. Techno entertainment show music bed. The thing that's behind every single news story.
Breaking couples news.
Breaking couples news. But how long before this bleeds into just the evening news? Close your eyes, everybody. This music is becoming ubiquitous. It is taking over our society. There's no news stories. There's no conversations anymore without this. And then pretty soon it's going to be...
Once again, when they found the corpse, both ring fingers were missing.
Tragic news out of Fallujah today. 140 European peacekeepers were all died when a fragment bomb exploded in their convoy.
And in a chilling twist, he made love to the corpse.
On the lighter side, people of DeFore are eating today.
This is going to go into the evening news. I'm convinced our children will live in a society where this is just pumped in. And as a matter of fact, it'll just be pumped in when people have conversations. Oh, we'll have that technology. I'll just be like, oh, hey, how's your mom? Oh, great. Ah, yeah, Mr. Bernal, I hate him. I don't know why we have to take English Lit either. Anyway, I'll see you at nutrition. All right. Every conversation is just going to have a bed of techno music under it.
Eventually, our children will be living in a society where, and I really know that sometimes after spending an entire morning with you, mm-hmm. I just don't think our children will be living in a society at all.
Maybe there'll be no society.
There's just be no society left after talking to Mr. Doomsday Scenario.
Well,
every now and again.
That is a very nice segue to my next bad one.
I knew it was. That's why I did it.
Speaking of society and doomsday, Muslim call to prayer.
I don't know why we make fun of them.
Because they do this five times a day?
Yes.
What if this had a nice techno bed under it?
Oh, Brian.
Trying to make his bald head explode?
If it had the Don't Tase Me dude underneath it, I feel it would be palatable to me, Brian. But I don't know if the techno beats enough to save this.
The two things you hate the most.
Let's see. I was going to read a big bear. Actually, it improves it. I like it better.
Now it's kind of cool international.
Yeah.
Beat.
Right. Right.
Good
it's
job.
Important to respect every single culture.
I was going up to. Well, I actually tried to respect a Muslim culture at one time, and I thought I was doing them a big heads up. I was driving up to Big Bear Mountain to go snow skiing, which I will never do again because I always break my legs. Mm-hmm. But there was a van pulled over, and these Muslims, and this was before, like, everybody was going crazy and nobody was fighting with anybody, or maybe we were, and I was just trying to be a cool guy, but I was definitely trying to be cool and nice. And I told them they weren't facing the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That they're supposed to be facing Mecca, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But they were in a bend in the road, and they were facing the wrong way. I said Mecca would be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And they flipped out at me.
Yeah,
man.
You don't tell Muslims where Mecca is.
Dude, I had a GPS. It
next
didn't
thing,
say Mecca, but it said west.
Right. That's where Mecca is, in the west? Yeah, you don't tell Muslim where Mecca is.
I thought I was being cool, man. If you saw a guy who was coming from a different country where food and roadkill looked similar, wouldn't you say, oh, dude, that's not actually food. That's roadkill. Let me help you. I'm from this land.
Right.
And I said, dude, you guys aren't facing Mecca. If that, mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's very important to you, or you would not be out here in the snow on your knees. I mean, I didn't say it that vehemently.
What is redhead from Partridge Family? Everybody, it's a Danny Partridge. Come, take picture. Take picture. Hold up snowboard.
By the way, Partridge Family, number one in Kuwait.
It is number one show. Come on, world, there's song we sing. Come on, get happy. Come on, hey, it's Danny Bonaducci here. Just take picture. Take picture.
I don't know how my camera phone works.
Hold button. Hold Ahmed, hold button. Lachik. Ahmed, hold the button. This is good.
Come on. Push the button. Don't
Let's
push the button on your vest.
Let's get one for safety. Let's get one for safety.
That's a Muslim expression right there. Another one for safety.
Where is Mecca? Albino?
It's west of here. It's always
hey,
west.
Hey, howdy doody. Where's of Mecca?
Hit a song, started singing. Come on, get happy.
Hey, Opie Taylor. Where is Mecca?
It's west.
Do you know anyone else like Sandy Duncan who could tell us what Mecca was?
She's a unocular.
Look, pick up bass guitar and just play. Pick up bass.
I'll pick up bass, but I won't play it.
You, oh, no.
What? You know... You don't play bass?
No,
but I watch every episode. I buy every album.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to disappoint.
Hold on, Doug Buck, go to van. Go to
get, what do you need for the van?
Get special sword. Yes. We'll cut the arms off for your Zionist lies.
How am I supposed to hold my bass?
You will not be able to lip sync with no lips.
I don't know if you're a Zionist, Danny. I mean,
I didn't mean to be.
His devil.
I was a lionist. I didn't play the friggin' bass. I was lying.
His white devil. He play air bass. He crushed a young man's dreams.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Akbar.
I can hardly speak. That's all I can do to cut your hands off.
And probably you should cut his vocal cords. I mean, it wasn't singing.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, there's some damage right there. You want to cut these vocal cords because you might want to make me sound bad.
All right. Where the hell were we?
Did you just snort?
Yeah, shut up.
Well, there you go. That is the beginning part of Music Monday, but there, as always, there's a second half. We have T's, we have Danny's, we have mine, and again, my my number one in the bad department is a song from this year that I cannot stand. All right, quick break. Back with yours and ours on Music Monday.
Monday on the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Alarm clock songs. What'll get you going and what will ruin your day? 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, that was one of mine that was going to be one of my good ones, but I ran out of room. And I had to make room because in the good department, do you have it, Bald Brian?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Shall I go first? How do we do this? Now, you know what I do? I think we go with T first. I actually, do I have a bonus?
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right. Here, all right. We'll do my good one before we get into the bad. Oh, this is my bonus one. Okay. Yeah. Mama Cass Elliott.
Bonus in what department?
Good.
That would have been my assumption because we spoke so highly of Mama Cass in the past.
Yes. I like her.
Don't have a sandwich for breakfast.
Great performer. It just sounds like this is the theme to some Mary Tyler Moore-ish 60s sitcom, but it wasn't. It was just a hit in the 60s.
The size of this woman's hat that she threw in the air like Mary Tyler Moore could boot down a building. Look, it's a flying saucer, man. That's a big head on Mama Cass.
Oh, she had a big cabeza. All right. That was my bonus. I'll save my real number one or my real good number one for after you guys give yours. T, what do you got?
Well, I rented that movie Talk to Me, the Don Cheadle movie where he plays a DJ, and this song was in that movie, and I just felt a wash of joy. Then I heard the same song in American Gangster with Denzel Washington, and I thought, I love this song.
Yeah, I'll take you there.
Can't be in a bad mood.
Staple Singers?
That's right. I could hear this every morning.
You know what? It got effed out by some car company. Pontiac or something was saying they were going to take me there for a while.
It's back.
Hit me now. Come on.
No one says hit me like the gospel singers. Whitey goes, help me.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me get her out of my heart.
Sister go, hit me. White guy's like, could you help me, please?
Gentlemen, please help me.
Gentlemen, I require your... Oh, doggone it.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Fellas, would you mind helping a brother?
See, black guys, they got... It's part,
we don't
it's
need
part
writers.
Help and part hit.
Yeah.
Hit me.
How come the brother on my street corner that needs help because he's a vet, he writes help, but says hit?
Yeah.
Can you help my brother out?
Right.
Yeah, I can, but why don't you spell it that way, too? You're confusing me.
By the way, we've had too many wars now for me to do the veteran math, because when the guy's holding the sign back in the day, the guy'd be holding the sign up, and you'd be like, you're not the right age for World War II, dude, and you're too young for See, you could do the math now. It's like, oh, with all the Grenadas and all
desert
storms, it's officially on. And now our kids are just going to be, there could be guys, you could be 91 or you could be 9 years old and go, I'm a veteran. Yeah. And I go, I can't argue with that.
I'm sure you shot somebody or got shot at.
All right, so that's your good. Danny, give us your good to wake up to.
This is good for me personally for two reasons.
Brady Bunch.
Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Okay. It's good because right now they're saying bring myself to stay inside. I've got to get up and get out and get some of those rates. It's telling me what to do.
Right.
The other reason is their show was an exact hit that mine was the same time, and they're all poor and washed up, and I'm not.
That's right.
So it just makes me feel really good. I get up and I hear, it's a sunny day, and you're all washed up, and I'm going to my radio show. Just makes me feel yummy inside.
Well, I agree, you know, because it's all relative, like we talk about all the time. And look, I've hung out with a couple of the Bradys, and some of them are bitter. And here's how it works, everybody. These people blame their show for pigeonholing them, typecasting them, saying they couldn't work. My argument is just the opposite. You would have never worked.
Right. That's always my argument.
There's no possible way Eve Plum would have ever got a paycheck in this profession, in this city.
True enough.
Now, she's sort of a friend, and I don't mean to be a huge dick, but she's decent looking, but not drop dead spectacular. And in the talent department, fine, just like every other waitress in this town.
Yep.
And most people don't get a shot. So these people, at least when they go, will go, oh, yes, that person died. I know who that person is. It wouldn't have happened for any of the cast. Now, maybe a guy like Cassidy from your show.
Yeah.
He had some chops. He could sing. He was a performer. But for most of the people who did these shows that are very bitter about it, you shouldn't be bitter about it. We wouldn't know who you are today.
It was your absolute ticket.
It's not like Eve Plum was going to be Meryl Streep had this not gotten in the way. And if it did, and you had the talent to overcome it, then you would have, such as a Johnny Depp has very easily done from 21 Jump Street,
or many of the other guys. Or have found another skill. By being the ex-washed up, you know, the craziest of the ex-child stars who kept getting in trouble, I kept doing these radio interviews and being funny. And all of a sudden I went, hey, radio. And somebody else, a big boss, said, you know, you're pretty good at this. And this I actually feel good at. I suck at acting. I'd have never gotten a shot. I was cute as Danny Partridge. I was good as Danny Partridge. I saw an episode of The Partridge Family yesterday.
Which one?
It was called Danny Drops Out. We went by title. What's-her-face? T-Vote him. Mm-hmm. And my kids would thank you. Mm-hmm. I've got a brand and a tattoo, and I can't remember the bitch's name. Mm-hmm. But she has, once you TiVo something, we don't really know how to use it. So it now TiVos
season
all
pass.
Partridge Families.
Right.
It also TiVos all Dr. Phil's, because she TiVo'd that. But anyway, my kids said we wanted to see it, so we watched it. And I was good as Danny Partridge. But in later years, I played Danny Bonaducci, the guy from the Partridge Family, on Married with Children.
Right.
I sucked. I couldn't pull it off. I couldn't pull off being Danny Bonaducci, the guy from the Partridge. That was the thing. That was the theme of their show, that Danny Bonaducci, the guy from the Partridge Family, moved in next door. And now I've heard he's dangerous and crazy, and now the neighborhood's going to be weird. That was the theme of the show.
I played myself in a couple of sitcoms, too. It's a taller order. I asked if I could play Bonaducci.
Really?
That is a taller order. You have to do it on your knees.
Shorter order. No, it's kind of hard to be yourself. Well, anyway, look, no disrespect to all the child actors out there, but get over yourself.
Get over yourself.
We would have never known who any of you are.
And you don't have to be a child. The most bitter example I know is the professor from Gilligan's Island.
Oh,
right.
He's bitter?
Couldn't be more bitter that it ruined his career.
Do we all really think we know who Maureen McCormick was, or Eve Plum, or Barry whoever, or Christopher Knight, or Lucky Land? Would we know any of these people's names?
No.
They would be one more, not bad looking, but not great looking, not untalented, but not super talented, middle of the road actor who never got a break in this town.
I'm telling you, you're messing up the story. Now get it right.
And just so you know, I include myself in that group. I'm not putting myself above anybody in that group. I'd be a starving ex-child star had I not fallen, literally drunk, into a radio station.
Sunshine Day was yours. All right, now to my good. This is a song that probably means more to me than it does to you guys, but if it came on my clock alarm, so would I.
Oh, wow.
What are you guys saying?
This is from the movie Taboo. I can't believe I know this.
First off, it's from Taboo 2.
I'm sorry.
For God's sake.
I'm not that bright.
He can do more than you'd ever imagine, and does it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. My greatest lament is that I couldn't get Goulet to cover this before his passing.
That's too bad.
You know that little slice of life thing you were talking about that I do every now and again?
Yes.
We don't have any of our DVD players hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
Amy came down yesterday and she said, "Did you watch porno in the kitchen this morning?" Because that's where Apple, the computer, is that we play movies. But we don't have any curtains.
Right.
So I have to drag
it
into this one spot in the kitchen so I can do what you do to porno.
Right.
Without all the neighbors if anybody happens to come out.
Well, this is fascinating to me because you have a 25-year-old girlfriend who will have sex with you anytime, but it's still fun to watch the porn.
Want
to
hear the really bad news?
That doesn't involve a salad crisper.
this made her really upset at first. We had just done it twice before I came to work.
Mm.
And then I went downstairs and saw the porno. I went, "God, it's been a while since I've seen porno."
Let me ask you something, T.
Kind of thing,
More insulting or less insulting? You find the guy rubbing one out after making love to you, or doesn't want to make love to you because he decided to rub one out moments earlier?
The latter is less insulting, because that just probably means he has some kind of porn addiction, and it's not personal. But if we've already had sex, and then he needs to watch the porn.
He's like, "You're good, T, but you ain't the real thing.
You're not taboo, too." We did not have it all.
You're absolutely right. My going downstairs and seeing the porn device, I just went, "Oh, wow, I haven't done this in so long, because we have no curtains.
Right.
I'm going to do this right here in this weird little spot where you can't see me."
In the kitchen.
But if you know your girlfriend is coming home in a few minutes and you decide, just seeing a bunch of strangers do horrifying things to each other sounds so much better than actually having sex with your own girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
That is offensive, I think.
Once in a while.
I don't have to apologize for that one too, honey.
Once in a while, you have, I don't know, some sort of half retrograde, something or other. Like you feel there's a little more magic left in that sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every once in a while you have sex. And you're in front of the mirror, and you splash a little water in your face. You get a look at yourself, and you go, "I think there's just a little more magic left in that sack. Just another sprinkling of fairy dust in there, and I just got to get it out of there." Once in a while.
Now, once in a while.
If I put it to you that way, I think it'd be cool. That, right?
Yeah, I'd be fine.
I'll put it to you any way you want.
I'm never going to get tired of this.
I'm not bothered by porn.
All right. Let's do one of yours before we take a break and get back with all our number one songs. Mike?
Yeah?
What do you want in the good or and or bad department?
Well, and this is up to you guys. Is it a good and or a bad?
Oh, we decide?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's hear
both,
it.
Both, depending on who you are. If you wake up all snuggly and warm, then the opening of Styx Renegade is great. Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're
That's a clock. It's a clock radio. It wouldn't start right at the beginning of the song.
Then you go to Danny.
The Renegade that had it made. I forgot that every third song was about Western and rambling, and he's a renegade, he's a wanted man.
But I think you missed the point a little bit, and that is that you don't get
Thanks,
to wake
Mike.
Up all snuggly, Mike. We have to wake up and go somewhere. That's
right.
The point.
Right.
You know, if we got to get up and be somewhere, which one is going to make you get up and go, and which one's going to make you say, "I'm putting a gun to my mouth and killing myself rather than going to work today."
Yeah. Eclectic. Interesting.
Interesting choice.
All right, Mike. We'll make that decision. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We have everyone's number ones. Well, actually, number two and number ones as well. And again, I've never been prouder of myself. Not since that alarm clock joke I made 5 minutes ago. I can't wait to get to my number one song. It's an 07 song. Those of you who accuse me of only going back to the 60s and 70s, I'll give you a number one most annoying. We'll do T's and Danny's next.
Hi, this is Stevie Wonder, and we're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Yeah.
Yeah, Stevie Wonder. Listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Hey, so we have our number one songs for Music Monday. Just to reboot and recap, here comes the Dooch Man. Hold on, let's hear the door. There we go. That's how you know the show started. I didn't know it was possible to open that door farther than 90 degrees. But all right, so where were we? That's right, Music Monday. Songs you do and don't want to hear. We've done the do. Now it's time for don't. Getting you out of bed. Programmed. You got your clock alarm on. You got your clock radio on. And it's a grab bag, because if you have it tuned into a radio station, it's a music station, you don't know what they're going to be playing at 5 a.m. T.
Okay, this is one you don't want to hear. No one likes the sound of pets in the morning, either their own or their neighbors, cats, dogs.
Mm.
What about the sound of both? And also, this particular song on its own, you wouldn't want to hear.
I didn't know this one.
I'd have crushed the alarm clock by now. I'd have hit snooze so hard that the jagged edges of my clock radio would be sticking.
I know the Jingle Bells dogs, but sure. I don't know this one.
These are the Jingle Cats.
Ah, this is dueling cats and dogs?
Dueling banjos with cats and dogs.
Wow.
Cats and dogs singing together? It's Armageddon.
What the hell did you find this?
I spent a long time on this crap.
Wow, it's horrible.
Do you work really hard at this?
I take a fair amount of time obsessing.
Mm-hmm.
I do this. Amy, get out that goddamn $400 Walkman thing I bought and start scrolling. Find the word tired.
Their iPods now.
All right.
The word tired in the title, sleepy, or don't want to. Give me those songs.
Danny,
well,
give
us you?
Your number two.
Ready?
In the bad. Yes.
I don't even need to introduce it now. Here you go.
My mind is on the blink. I wonder, should I get up?
Now, is this
I'm
the
so
Beatles,
tired.
Or is this
yeah.
just... Oh, yeah. Hey, Buffalo Bill. What did you kill? Is that what this is?
It's called...
No?
There you go.
Oh, it's just so tired. That's
I'm just
right.
so tired. At this point, with the cats and the dogs, I'm killing the radio. But I'm so tired and I've got somewhere to be, I'm killing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, should I call you? But I know what you would do.
Sounds like they're going to go into Buffalo Bill right
yeah.
here. Hey, Buffalo Bill. I haven't heard
By
this
way,
song
I've got
in a
that
long
part,
time. Can you download Beatles songs now? You still can't do it, can you? I realize the reason I don't have many Beatles songs is because I can't just go to iTunes and buy them. Good times.
Yeah, that's
Mine
why
is,
I just couldn't be more. I'm so tired, I'm not doing it.
Very, very simple. Played it many times. My number two, horrible. Yeah. It's horrible, horrible. The.
If you could combine
music.
The
it's
cats and dogs
music.
With this, it would be a morning in Koreatown.
Yes. Really?
Honestly.
That's what it is, huh?
Exactly.
Is that your favorite restaurant?
You throw in some chickens and
yeah.
roosters.
Yeah. Again, everyone, let's stop tolerating everyone else's crappy culture so much and start telling them to turn down their effing crappy music.
I like the culture, just maybe not the ranchero.
Not the music. It's horrible, it's horrible, horrible music. You have to be drunk or dumb to enjoy this.
I'm having flashbacks. This was 3 straight years in Koreatown.
Hey,
well,
I'm going
to Koreatown, are they listening to this?
I'll pose you this because they have plenty of Latins over there, too. Look, I'll say it one more time. If classical music can make you smart, what music makes you dumb?
I'm not following that.
All right. Now, number one, T.
Okay, well, this is kind of a personal one, because there was about a 4-month period where I really had trouble getting out of bed, and, you know, it's hard to believe...
Is that because you're having a 4-month period?
...that I could have suffered a crippling depression. And I would play this every single morning, because the guy the song's about couldn't get out of bed for a year.
Bare Naked Ladies.
I love this song.
I do, too. I love the Bare Naked Ladies.
They put on a great live show.
I listen
yes,
to this song
do.
Every single day because I thought, this guy couldn't get out of bed for a year. He's worse off than I am.
Yes.
God.
Yeah, they're singing about Brian Wilson and having a dream and weighing 500 pounds.
Good song.
Bare Naked Ladies are a really good band, and they're really good live, and they're really fun, and everyone plays the bejesus out of their instruments, and they're kind of known for a couple of songs that aren't their best, but they have a whole bunch of other really good songs.
Yeah, they're known for If I Had $1 Million and 1 Week, I think, is their big hit.
They had like a rappy whatever song, and those aren't really...
I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral.
That's 1 Week.
That's not the best that the Bare Naked Ladies have to offer. They're a fun band, and they're really good.
This is their best song, but it's a little rough to get out of bed.
I like Alternative Girlfriend myself. All right. Good
it's
call.
A little happy, though, for a guy who can't get out of bed for a year.
Yeah. It is about Brian Wilson never being able to get out of bed. On the other hand, I would be happy to hear a little Bare Naked Ladies.
I know. Yeah. It did help me.
Aside from being drunk, though, I didn't ever do anything about being like just so depressed you couldn't do anything like a song that would make me feel better or anything like that. I think the reason I don't come off nearly as crazy here as I do at home is this is the thing that makes me happy. And when this is over, then I get really sad. Then I get home and watch Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and try and explain it to my 12-year-old as she sees the Partridge Family for the first time and I become Baby Jane.
Ooh.
It was so weird. I thought it wouldn't be worth talking about on the air, but I'd pull Carolla aside because I think he'd really get the bizarre moment of saying, well, it's a movie about a child star who doesn't go on with their career and they go insane and think they're still famous and get drunk and cruel. Oh. Hey, I've never seen the Partridge Family. Daddy, it says it's right there. Can we see it? And there I am, now telling stories about when Daddy was famous. Well, and tears. I'm wiping tears from my eyes because I feel so crazy and bizarre talking to my kid because that's my huge fear in life, even though I'm now doing okay, was becoming Baby Jane. Was sitting in front of Grauman's Chinese when I lived behind it. But now, in my 50s,
what year
saying,
Baby
don't you guys
Jane?
Remember when I was Danny Partridge? That used to be the biggest fear of my whole life.
What year was that movie?
I think Amy actually said it was 3 years after I was born, of War Year 63, I believe.
Was it Whatever Happened to?
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane.
Right. All right, give us your number one, baby.
For Danny. Me, this is you can't help but not want to get out of bed for every description in this song.
The Carpenters.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. See, I'd have never heard the word down over the bang.
Yeah. Oh, Karen, what a voice.
What a voice.
This if I could only get that thin.
You can.
Not committed enough.
$500, I'll break your jaw. I when I was on a crash diet, I tried to have my mouth wired shut and no one would do it.
Danny, let me run to my ATM. Oh, this is a great song, but no, I don't want to get out of bed.
I don't want to get out of bed.
All right, let me tell you a song that's going to, for different reasons, it's going to make me just so annoyed with society that I don't want to re-enter society. Because this song went to number one, and it didn't go to number one in 1962. It went to number one in 07. And it's a retarded song for retarded people. And look, quickly, if you like this song, it means you're stupid. I know that sounds insulting, but it's a song that's made for stupid people and made number one by stupid people.
Why are we so cruel?
I don't care.
I like my girlfriend, and I hope she likes this song, so Adam just called her stupid.
I don't know why. I'm tired of all the smart people having to pretend like everything's a difference in taste or difference in education or difference in background. If you like this song, you are effing stupid.
I'm praying. She's safe.
Suicide. That's what I want to do when I hear this song.
Should I be embarrassed that I've never heard this song?
No, you should be proud. And I think listen to the synthesized voice here. Number one. Look, they play it on Kiss and they play it on other radio stations that have a large group of super stupid people listening to them.
Yes.
Who is this?
It's Sean Kingston. This is a number one song that sounds like it's meant for kids. But as I always tell you, there's a lot of 30-year-olds walking around with children's brains in them. They're called dumb people. And we've geared our entire society toward catering to retards. Now, why do I know this song? Because I live in society, unfortunately.
And barely.
Barely, but you can't...
You are the fringe, man.
You can't miss it because you go places, and those places play this horrible crap because they're trying to cater to the masses of tards that patronize their business. It's such a crappy song.
You seem so self-defeatist to me, though.
I'm angry because I feel like the tards have won out. I feel like there's a handful of smart people that are just employed full-time to try to figure out what idiots want. And then we give it to them by the boatload. Instead of challenging people and trying to bring them up a notch, we just lower ourselves and go, look, everyone's dumb and they're just getting dumber and dumb people are breeding and they're breeding at masses that smart people can't keep up with. So let's just, all smart people, try to get rich off of giving stupid people what they want to hear, what they want to eat, what they want to watch, what they want to dance to.
There's an expression for that, Adam. It's called the American way.
Yeah, it's called give the asses, the masses
See,
their asses.
My fear is that, it's not my fear because it's a fact. You are an elite human being. There's no two ways about it.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't mean financial. I mean you're a special kind of guy. I'm not giving you an over-the-top compliment. I think I'm an elite human being. I think all of us have really significant talents in this room. But you want to stay elite. And if you look up the word elite in the dictionary, it means small group.
Right.
I don't want a small group. I want to be number one. I want to walk over to Kevin Bean's studio and pee in it.
Right.
Okay? And I'm only going to do that by getting as many smart people as I can get, as many stupid people as I can get, and playing the song back-to-back as a two for Tuesday. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
All I want to do is win.
Wait a minute.
And I like Kevin and Bean, and I'll cut their hands off so they can't play this song.
All right, that's enough. I'm going to kill myself. Plus, we're getting a lot of new listeners.
And who'd want that?
All right, you
Wait
guys all
Tuesday.
Disgust me. T.
Yeah.
The news. What's coming up in it?
We'll talk about the Patriots.
Ugh.
What they make of their big win yesterday. And also, a couple of celebrities ran the New York City Marathon. One did very well.
All right, that next with the news.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Before you jump in your car this morning, something to think about. A new study says driving is bad for your lungs.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone?
Yep.
What's going on in your news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, due to the writer's strike, we may not be seeing a fresh Saturday Night Live in a while, but this past weekend we did. Barack Obama made a special guest appearance on SNL to share a little exchange with fake Hillary and Bill Clinton at a Halloween party. Barack came to the party wearing a Barack mask and then, of course, removed it to expose that it was him.
Hello, Bill.
Nice to see you.
Yes, nice to see you, Barack. So you dressed as yourself?
Well, you know, Hillary, I have nothing to hide. I enjoy being myself. I'm not going to change who I am just because it's Halloween.
Well, that's great.
And may I say, you make a lovely bride.
She's a witch.
Bill!
Running joke, I saw it.
Please excuse my husband, Barack. Now, were you saying something?
Yes. I just wanted to let the American people know that, live from New York, it's Saturday night!
Was that a thinly veiled lesbian thing where he was saying, I don't mind being myself?
Starting to
hear more lesbian rumblings.
Yeah, well, people are starting to go after Hillary now that she's the front runner and it's getting closer.
Don't
particularly
get me
Edwards.
Don't get me wrong, Dykes. I want one of you in the office.
You
yeah.
do?
Yeah.
Hell yes, because that's like having one of us.
I see.
You know what I'm saying?
A real one of us.
Closer to a man.
Yeah, if we can't go with a dude, we'll go with the next best thing.
And you never get a real dude. You never get the full-on guy. You never get the guy that you go, that guy will push the button if you F with us one more time. That guy's going to do it.
Yeah.
Hillary, you piss off an angry lesbian, she's nuking you.
Yeah, go down to Robertson in Santa Monica, walk into some kennel or some bar or something, see some chicks back there rocking the waffle stompers, wearing the Lee jeans. That's more man than Bush will ever be. That's right. I want a lesbian in the office.
More Bush than Bush will ever be.
That's right.
Well, here's some dude talk for you. Football. Danny, I don't know if you saw it.
No.
I was glued. What time did this happen? Because I couldn't understand all the cheering.
About 1:30 yesterday.
That would explain it.
The undefeated Indianapolis Colts and New England Patriots collided yesterday. The Patriots came out on top. They beat the Colts 24-20 to extend their unbeaten record to 9-0, losing me $20 to my friend Ben Makewitz. Because I listened to you, Adam.
$20. Well, first off, I was convinced that the Pats would crush the Colts. But then I forgot about that Black Pats magic where even when they're getting beat for three quarters, they end up winning. Now, I sealed everyone's fate by announcing to Jimmy's cousin Sal yesterday, put $1,000 on the Patriots. And I'll hedge my bet, and it feels good. I'm telling you, pick your team that you want to win or the team that you want to lose. In this case, for me, it's the Pats. I'm tired of the Pats. I hate the Pats. I've had an assful of all the Pats fans. I make a good income. It's worth $1,000 to me to even out the sting of another Pats victory. It really is. It's a weird thing. It sounds retarded. I've done it before. Figure out what it is. Do it with anything in life. Just figure out what you don't want to happen, and then how much would it be monetarily satisfying to you if they did. And that way, the Pats would win. I'd make $1,000, and I'd walk home drunk from Kimmel's house going, well, the Pats won. I wasn't happy about that, but I just made $1,000 for drinking beer.
Yeah, nice.
Well, it was a 5.5-point spread. Yeah. And with about 8.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, with the Colts up 20-7, I was surprised. But, well, I'm going to lose $1,000. That's the bad news. But the good news is Pats ain't winning this week.
Wrong! Yeah.
So with about half a quarter to go, down by 10 points in a game where they just weren't moving the ball, and the Colts seemed to be having their way, well, what happened? The Pats scored. And then the Pats scored again. And now the Pats are up 24-20. And now I'm like, are you serious? They're going to win the game and I'm going to lose $1,000. And then Cousin Sal said $1,100. I said, $1,100? Well, it's $100 for the Vic. I said, okay, are you serious? I'm going to lose and lose $1,100? And everyone said, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I got no sympathy from all the Colts fans because I bet on the Pats, and I got no sympathy for the Pats fans because they all knew I just bet on them hoping they would lose and I would lose and it wouldn't matter. So I'm losing both ways now. But the Pats, who've been accused of running up the score the whole week. See, that's all the buzz around the NFL. Pats running it up, ahead, late in the game, going for two, going for it on fourth down, throwing when they should be running and running out the clock. Everyone pointing at Belichick and the Patriots and saying, what are you guys doing running up the score? Was all the discussion all week. So what happens? Well, with 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes left, Peyton Manning goes back to pass, and I say to myself, okay, now, I either want the Colts to score and just have them win outright,
right,
or throw a pick and have them take it to the house and cover. Well, what happens? 3rd and 9. He's pressured. He's hit from behind. The ball comes loose. Roosevelt Colvin picks up the ball. And it's just him and, like, Peyton Manning, who's lying on the ground. Now, all of a sudden, I'm screaming, go to the house, baby! Go to the house! Pick six! We're going to cover! Nope, he gets tackled by a 700-pound white guy. Now, you got to understand, Danny, you don't know much about football,
not
but
a
when
thing.
A guy picks off the ball 8 or 10 yards deep into on the other side of the line of scrimmage, meaning he didn't throw the ball downfield 40 yards. He got his arm hit, and the guy grabbed it.
Right.
That goes for a touchdown because there's nobody there to tackle him. He's passed everybody. But he gets tackled. And now Brady comes up, and they're like on the 20 or 30-yard line, and I'm yelling, okay, fellas, you've been accused of running up the score all week long. Let's do it. Keep that train a-rolling. Let's punch this baby in. And all week, I've just been seeing footage of them going for it on fourth down, up by 40 points with 10 seconds left, scoring at the end of the game. Everything. What'd they do? Well, Brady takes a knee. Takes a knee for 3 plays, and they walk off the field. So that was my little experience yesterday with the Patriots.
Oh, you know, I really appreciate the moment where you said, I know you don't really understand, but here's what happened, because sometimes I do feel like remiss that I could learn it if I wanted to, you know, and then be able to discuss it. I just really don't want to. But I also do feel bad because my children asked me yesterday what all the yelling was about, because it couldn't just be this one neighbor that was having a party. It was all over town. You could hear yelling and screaming. And I told my kid, I'm pretty sure it's the World Series.
Oh. Of football.
Yeah, in a sense, a lot of people think this was the Super Bowl.
Call it the World Series of football.
Now, let's take a listen as Tom
get rich.
As Tom Brady tells us why that victory didn't even matter.
No, well, I don't. No, I'll not hear him. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear him explaining that he's not looking ahead.
Turn it off. You want to hear from Peyton Manning?
No, I'm sick of everybody.
Do you want to hear about the New York City Marathon?
Yes.
Want to hear about some entertainment news?
I'll hear about that. Yes.
Katie Holmes and Lance Armstrong both ran the New York City Marathon yesterday. They both finished. Katie finished the 26.2-mile race in 5 hours and 29 minutes.
Pretty good.
Not bad. She only trained for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Lance Armstrong finished in just over 2 hours and 46 minutes. That's fast.
That is fast.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
I can do about 26 yards in that time.
The guy pedals like a freak for 19 hours at a time, though.
And uphill is his thing.
Right. Yeah. So even though he's a celebrity... He's a celebrity because he pedals like a nut on
a
bicycle.
Speaking of, he carries one less nut in weight.
It's true.
He streamlined himself.
Yeah. You know who else is fast? Tom Brady.
I'm
sorry. Here's a fun story out of Upland, California. Last Thursday morning, you know Upland.
Mm-hmm.
Bald Brian. Around 5 a.m. last Thursday morning, the police got a call. From Mustang Books, an adult bookstore, someone had just held up their store using a semi-automatic weapon, then fled in a taxi. The police tracked down the taxi and stopped it.
A taxi?
Yeah. I know, it didn't have a getaway man, whatever you call him. Mm. The cab driver, who had no idea what was going on, got out. And when he did, the robber, who turned out to be a 49-year-old guy named Stephen McDermott of Claremont, stole the taxi. He sped off, causing two accidents on the way. And then got out of the cab and started running. The police yelled at him to stop. He turned around and reached into his waistband, not for his semi-automatic gun, but for a large, naughty novelty item.
Yeah.
Shaped like a penis, which he had stashed in his belt loops.
Uh-huh.
Now, if that's not strange enough, it wasn't a naughty novelty he'd just stolen from an adult bookstore. He only stole cash. It was one he'd put in his waistband at home before the whole... robbery,
well,
taxi, jacking, police standoff.
Yeah. Some people keep that little derringer in their sock, you know, just keep in their boot. I'll keep a vibrator just tucked in my waistband just in case trouble breaks out, run out of ammunition, whatever.
Well, from a distance, the police couldn't see
what he had pulled out of his waistband.
Well, his vibrating toy looked enough like a weapon that one of the officers did fire, but the bullet missed. And that gave the other, his partner, a chance to grab the guy. He was arrested on suspicion of grand theft auto, felony evading, and using a semi-automatic weapon in a robbery, not to mention a vibrating
dildo. Dude, if somebody pointed out a giant wiener out of their waistband and pointed at me in the dark, I'd shoot him on principle.
That's why they have to take all those things and put that Caltrans orange at the end of them. You know,
right.
I've heard so many stories about kids from the inner city waving around dildos and cops shooting them. It's sad. It breaks your heart, but every time you open the newspaper, that's how my dad went, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They didn't know. They should paint those things orange, put that orange cap on the end of them.
Hell yeah.
When was the last time that you were to the porn store, dude? They have the orange cap and the blue balls and the vibrating lights and the cameras in the end. They don't look like wieners anymore. They look like spaceships.
Tell Danny to move on.
Okay, at the box office. Now, it was a big question. What was going to win the box office? The Denzel Russell Crowe picture, American Gangster, or Jerry Seinfeld's animated comedy, B-Movie?
Huh?
B-Movie.
What's that?
It's hardly gotten any
some kind of indie
press
thing?
It's an obscure indie movie. They can't afford advertising.
But it's on film, though, right? They
release it at a few theaters,
uh-huh.
I think.
Color? Is it color?
I'm pretty sure that it's color.
Subtitled? Or?
No, it's in English.
Huh. What's that one called?
It's a French film.
B-Movie.
B. Oh, just B-E?
No, like
B-dash movie?
B-E-E.
Oh, okay. I'll write that down. I'll keep an eye out for that.
Number one.
That's out there.
at the box office this weekend was American Gangster, making $46.3 million.
Mm-hmm.
It beat out the B-movie, the obscure B-movie, which only made 39.1. Not a bad weekend.
I heard American Gangster was good. I heard they were both good, but I do like the idea of the adult movie beating out the kids' movie.
I was happy to hear it.
Listen, you kids. F you. With your dragging the parents everywhere and getting everything and having everything now. Sorry, baby. Sorry.
When are you going to take the kids to see a movie? When are they old enough to sit in the movie theater?
Well, my dad, when I was 7, deemed I was old enough to see Pepillon.
Oh.
Which is a movie about
Justin
Steve McQueen. Being there's beheadings and homoerotic
people cutting
scenes.
People's guts open so they can get the money that they stashed in their rectums.
Yeah, it was good time. So I guess it's look, here's what I don't want. I don't want the kids to go into the movie theater and then have the meltdown and then I have to drag them up the aisle screaming and everything. So I'd say mid-20s.
That was pop water.
Another one for the kids, rounding out the top three, Saw 4, making $11 million. I'm Teresa Strasser. And that's the news.
You know, the thing is we're 9-0.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Oh, poor Kirk Morrison, the linebacker for the Raiders. He's going to be on next. Raiders dropped another close one. Their kicker, Janikowski, attempted to kick what would have been an NFL record for field goals. For length, for distance, 64 yards. The ball hit the middle of the upright, which meant enough leg for 70, maybe 71 yards, but it didn't go through. I'm going to talk to Kirk Morrison about that because I have some thoughts. They ain't going to win the division anymore, but they can get Janikowski that record. He's got enough leg. So every time you get to the 50-yard line, bring in the kicking team. But, Coach, it's first down. Get Janikowski out there. We're getting into the record books. We'll take a quick break. Back with soon-to-be All-Pro Kirk Morrison.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now a little sit-down with Oakland Raiders middle linebacker Kirk Morrison, brought to you by PerfectPushup.com. Get ripped fast for under $40.
That's intercepted. Picked off by Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kirk Morrison.
What's up?
Oh, another bad loss for the Oakland Raiders. I know. Just 24-17 loss to Houston. Look, Kirk, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll tell you how we're going to salvage this season.
Okay.
We're going to get Janikowski the record.
Yeah.
we're going to get him the furthest or the longest field goal record. This guy hit the middle of the upright. He went 10 foot up, 12 foot up from the crossbar from 64 yards yesterday. I mean, what kind of leg does this guy have?
Pretty soon, are we gonna actually need other players?
No.
Or just people who kick?
He'll just kick from his own end zone.
Yeah.
We got confidence in him, man. He's done that at practice. I mean, every day at practice. I mean, his leg is unbelievable. I mean, he takes two steps and, you know, literally a kickoff is like a field goal for him. Yeah, you know, it's really like that, so... you know, we had total confidence in him, and I just wish he would have made that field goal yesterday. That would have been great.
It actually hit, and then the poor guy, as we were talking earlier in the month or a couple months ago, hit the top of the crossbar, the top of the goalpost, not the crossbar in Denver a few weeks back. That sucked, too. That guy, you got to get, I don't know if he's into religion or anything. If this was baseball, someone would kill a chicken or something in front of him and get him out of his slump.
If it was baseball, it'd be good, though. So,
yeah, because it would be a home run when it hits the post.
Yeah, it'd be a home run, so it'd be all good.
Good points. The last three Raiders losses were by a total of 13 points. So, really, a little over 4 points a loss. That is brutal. It's good, and that means you guys are a good team, but just haven't done enough to get over the edge. What are we going to do next week, Kirk?
It's one of those weeks where you just got to go back to the drawing board, where you sit back and you look back and say, okay, the last couple weeks, what has hurt us, what has helped us? And what has, you know, helped us, we're going to keep working with it. What hasn't worked for us, we've got to find a different way, do some different things. I think now it's to the point where we're going to find some kind of way, and there is a way for us. We just got to find a way where we're all working at the same time, working well together.
Do we think Jamarcus Russell is coming in at this point? He's their number one draft pick. He's getting millions of dollars to play. Right now he's sitting on the bench because he's a rookie, but is it time yet to go there?
I'm not really sure to say. You know, it's really not my decision. It's where the coaching staff feels it, where he's at. You know,
what do you think the team, do you have an idea of what the team is thinking? Do you think they want to see him get out there?
Well, I'm asking him in practice every day, so I can't really.
Does he look good?
He looks good, but at the same time, we know that this is, the NFL, and you have to learn the offense and get right. You know, for him to miss a lot of training camp, you know,
I'm
the whole training camp. You know, really, he's only been playing football for the last couple months, really. You know, he's only been, this is seven games he's only been here. So.
Yeah, because he held out
because
of his contract. So that's going to slow things down.
Well, it's kind of hard to just learn an offense in seven games and expect to go out there and be, pretty much at full throttle. So we understand what we got ahead of us, but I think we got some great guys at quarterback. Just made a couple mistakes yesterday.
Well, who do you guys, let's see, everyone... I was going to say, and take this with in the spirit in which it's intended. The bad news is the Raiders stink, and the good news is so does everyone else in the league this year. So the Raiders can get it together because they're just barely getting nipped out on all these games. If you guys can put together a little winning streak, and I know you can, there's still time.
Yeah, we know there's still time. There's a lot of time for us because... we're only halfway through the season. I mean, I definitely our halfway report card doesn't look too good, but at the same time, we know that we're not far off.
Denver stunk it up yesterday. San Diego, who looked like they were coming on strong, got spanked yesterday. I mean, there's still time for the Raiders.
Right. We know there's time for us. We're just going to go out and we definitely know that we have a hard schedule coming up. You know, we have Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota. San Diego, Kansas City, Denver. I mean, we have all those teams, plus Jacksonville. So it's going to be a difficult schedule for us. But at the same time, I'm looking forward to it because we're really going to find out what the team is going to be all about. I mean, 2-6 in the first eight games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are we going to finish this season off?
We're
going to fold or are we going to go out?
I say, you walk into the locker room today and you announce to everyone, Kirk Morrison is now playing for Kirk Morrison. I'm an independent contractor.
Yeah.
You say, hey, bitch, I'm on pace for 118 tackles and 6 picks this year.
Yeah.
Kirk Morrison is going to the Pro Bowl, and Kirk Morrison is playing for Kirk Morrison.
There's two eyes in Kirk Morrison.
That's right.
That's right.
And I got eyes, and I can see you guys suck. Now, you don't like what I'm saying? You're angry? Good. Good. And then you take a Gatorade bucket and you throw it into someone's locker and you start trashing the place and you start yelling, if all you start playing for you, then I'll see all you in Honolulu in 4 months. But right now, Kirk Morrison's got to make a number two. And you walk right out. You walk right out of the door and you fire that team up into a frenzy.
That's,
yes, Kirk?
That's almost the Gipper speech. It's so good, man.
That's right. It's a modern.
That was pretty good, man. I can't, we got to work well together as a team.
No.
Come on, we just reviewed that.
Come on, Kirk.
How's that going so far?
Yeah.
You can never let it be about me. That's why it's football. It's 11 men on the field working well as one. If I was a baseball player, I was a pitcher or something, or I was a basketball player, I can go out and score, 50 points a game, but it'd be one thing. But we need all 11 guys to work as one in unison.
All right. That's the motto here at the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right.
It's only called the Adam Carolla Show because really... it's a team event, and
you guys all work well together. Yeah.
No, we all suck up to Adam Carolla. What are we, stupid?
Yeah. I'm assuming Kirk's just saying this because the coach is listening.
Yeah.
That's just football. Everyone knows that. We got to work together as 11. When
all right.
You win as 11 and you lose at 11.
Blah, blah, blah.
The Raiders lost, and, Kirk Morrison lost too. Like, no, we lost as a team, not Kirk Morrison lost.
I would announce you won last week. You did your job. Yeah, you made your tackles. All right, Kirk, you guys are going to be playing Chicago, the Bears,
right. This
Sunday, 1 p.m. We'll play it right here on KLSX. Good talking to you. And let's get a win for next week.
Yeah.
All right, buddy?
All right,
go Raiders.
All right.
We'll try my hardest, man. Get it right.
Thank you. Kirk Morrison, everyone, from the Oakland Raiders. We'll be back. Well, I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. Def Rat Guy. Go to defratguy.com. Get yourself a shirt with a beer bong funnel on it. Nikki Fink, L.A. Weekly journalist, for arguing with me over what's going on with the writer strike. And, of course, Kirk Morrison. Oakland versus Chicago, Sunday, 1 p.m. right here on KLSX. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
B.O. Ass Wipes.